Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Ms. Rios. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to our City Council chamber. I'd like to announce that Mayor Rollins is at the Conference of Mayors today. So, Mr. Atkins and myself, we are in charge today. So, I'd like to introduce our minister that will be giving our invocation today, and I'd like to just say a little bit about him. He is Pastor John Hadley. He is a senior pastor at Marsh Lane Baptist Church, located at 10716 Marsh Lane, corner of Marsh and Royal in District 13. He has been a senior pastor for 12 years and a total of 30 years in the ministry. Pastor Hadley and his wife, Toni, have been married for nearly 47 years this July. They were high school sweethearts. Together, they have 3 sons and 1 daughter, 12 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren. He's certified a victim relief chaplain. He served in the Army for 8 years, and he also served in Vietnam. His mission in life is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Welcome today. Everyone, please stand.
All right. Thank you very much for that kind introduction. Shall we bow our heads? Dear Heavenly Father, we gratefully acknowledge that we are who we are today because of your abundant mercy and grace. Today I come before you on behalf of these officials who have been called out of their private business to attend to the city's business. They will need wisdom to know the right things to do and courage to do them. I ask you to protect these, your servants, from those who would do them harm, and from those who would seek to pervert their judgment. You tell us that the rich and the poor stand equal before you. So help these, your servants, to have the integrity to not choose one over the other. We are a diverse city, and we love that. Please bring us unity, constant unity, so that we can demonstrate your love to a fractured world. Prosper our city as we serve you, and reward all of those who seek to do right. I humbly ask all of this in the name of my Savior, your only begotten Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Ms. Coop.
Of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. You know, we've had some very, very nice weeks just a few weeks ago regarding art and culture. And today I am going to ask Council Member Ann Margolin to introduce our Art District video presentation. Ms. Margolin.
Good morning, colleagues. Many of you remember in 2009 when we had the spectacular grand opening of the AT&T Performing Arts Center, and it was always our hope that the center would be a vibrant gathering place for people from all parts of the city, day and night. And the center, its resident companies, and Titus have done a great job of filling the hall, filling the Wiley and the Windsphere with great shows and concerts. But what I'm also very excited about is what's been going on outside this spring, especially at the Strauss Square and Salmons Park. We've had concerts. The food trucks have been attracting people. We have ping pong, yoga, and Zumba. And on a regular basis, we now see families picnicking on the lawn, workers enjoying lunch, and Booker T students rehearsing outside. Recently, the AT&T staff prepared a short spring highlights presentation for their board meeting, and I want to share it with you because I want you to see what is going on outside now in the Arts District. It is incredibly exciting. It's a 3-minute video.
Thank you.
Particularly Chris Heinbaugh's in the audience, just wave, Chris, who brought this to our attention, and also point out that even though things slow down a little bit in the Arts District during the summer, last night the Broadway musical Jersey Boys opened at the Wynn Sphere, and it runs through July 15th. On June 22nd, the Dallas Theater Center presents the musical Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which runs through August 12th. And this Friday, this is really exciting, and I think you all should be there. I know I'm going to be there, is the Dallas Arts District Summer Block Party. It's in front of the Nasher, the Crow Collection, and the Dallas Museum of Art. All of the museums are open and free on Friday night, and there's lots of food, fun, and music. So this summer, every one of you, I want you to make it down to the Arts District and support our Arts District and come see what's going on. Thank you.
I don't have it.
Ms. Margolin?
Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you very much. And it is very important that we let our public know what is going on at the Arts District or in the Arts District. And Chris, as always, thank you very much for allowing us to play it this morning. Good. The first order of business I'd like to say is approval of the minutes of the May 23rd, 2012 City Council meeting. Do I hear a motion? Okay. I have a motion from Mr. Cadain, second from Mr. Atkins. We are now going to have the speakers.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. We're going to go ahead and begin your morning speakers with Sherry Peel, Jacobina Shepherd, Miracle Shepherd, Mary Donna Perez, Lily Rose Thomas. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant at Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer. When the timer turns to zero, please allow the next individual their turn. You will address your comments to Mayor Madonna. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Sherry Peel, 1808 Timber Grove Circle, Dallas, Texas. And I'm really excited to see all the wonderful things happening in our Arts District. I think it's fantastic. I'm here to discuss value and investment in arts education. And I'd first like to ask, will everyone in the audience in support of arts education please stand up? I think we can see we have a lot of supporters in our audience today. And I'm here to advocate for increasing the arts education city spending for TECO to 4 times what it is versus cutting it or abolishing it. And I once asked the CEO of a prominent company in Richardson, Texas to tell me what he attributed his success. He didn't have to think very long at all, and he decisively replied, "I had a big imagination." This idea of big imagination is a key theme. My discussion is broken into 4 parts. 1, what is TNT? What are the benefits of art education, mentoring and leadership, city and community support? What is TNT? TNT partners with the Dallas County Juvenile Department and the North Texas Volunteer Truancy Program, T PICO offers an apprenticeship that teaches students how to perform on stage, as well as the design aspects of theater like lighting, sound, costuming, and set design. I like using my imagination to envision that scene and experience. The following are the key benefits of arts education. Stimulates and develops the imagination and critical thinking, refines cognitive and creative skills, impacts the developmental growth of children, and has proven to help to level the learning field across socioeconomic boundaries, develops a sense of craftsmanship, quality task performance, setting goals, teaches life skills like developing an informed perception, articulating a vision, learning to solve problems and make decisions, building self-confidence and discipline, developing the ability to imagine what might be, and accepting responsibility to complete tasks from start to finish. It nurtures important values, including team building, respecting alternative viewpoints, and apprenticing. Appreciating and being aware of different cultures and traditions. Now moving on to leadership. Be thinking of strong leaders you've encountered and respected in your life. Here are six key traits of great leaders. You must have a vision. You must have passion. You must learn to be a great decision maker. You must be a team builder. You must have good character. Without that, all of the above doesn't matter. You must have a big imagination. Teresa Coleman Wash, Executive Artistic Director of PICO, personifies all of the above. She is the perfect mentor, leader, and teacher who can set the tone and who can lead by example. The key benefits of arts education and developing great leadership seem to go hand in hand. So the last discussion point, community support. This Thursday, I conclude my role as co-president of the Dallas Theater Center Guild at our final board meeting. Now, a Friends of PICO group is being organized. Well, I will serve as co-president to lend community support to this great Oak Cliff neighborhood gem.
Thank you very much, Madam Secretary.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Jacobina Shepherd.
My name is Jacobina Shepherd, 1514 Life Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75212. I'm here on behalf of the Fine Arts Education Program, PICO Theatrical Productions. My daughter has attended that program for a number of years. She has excelled in everything in all her classes at school because I feel like during the summer months off programs, when they're off in the summer, she's able to still go there and do her reading skills, comprehension. They have to be able to comprehend. She's able to critical think because of all the interactions with the, you know, she's doing acting. Throughout the winter months, she's also attend the apprentice program, and the apprentice program is a really, really good program too, because during the spring break, they're able to, you know, go in and still, you know, do reading skills, critical thinking skills, and this program is just a wonderful program. My baby was diagnosed with a chronic illness, and there was issues with neurology, things going on with her. But I really feel that because of all the critical thinking she had to do at school and also the downtime that she had during the summer months, she was still able to think really good, retain information, be really good at, you know, still being able to maintain at school. So PICO's has really been a blessing to my family. I'm speaking from the heart because we just got out of the hospital. She just got out of the hospital the day before yesterday. And, you know, she shouldn't be here today, but we told the doctors she wanted to be here and I wanted to be here because I want you all to know how wonderful this program is. This is a wonderful program, and it is wonderful for students of, you know, they got a very diverse big group of students, and I know we wouldn't be able to afford this program. We live in West Dallas, but we wouldn't be able to afford this program if it wasn't for the generosity of all you guys, and I really appreciate you all for in the past being able to fund, you know, this program so, you know, students like my daughter and other kids can experience this program. So I'd just like to say thank you for that.
Thank you very much, Ms. Shepherd.
Your next speaker is Miracle Shepherd.
Okay, good morning. Today I will be speaking on behalf of arts education, particularly TCO Theatrical Productions. TCO has been a major blessing in my life because recently I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Lesions had invaded the memory part of my brain. With TCO's life-changing program, I am still able to memorize long and detailed speeches and take it to new heights. So TCO has just been such a major blessing in my life. And I would just like to say thank you to all of you.
Thank you, Miracle.
Next speaker is Mary Donna Perez. Lily Rose Thomas will follow.
Hello, my name is Mary Donna Perez, and I will be speaking on the behalf of the arts education. Okay, I live at 2915 Idaho Street, Dallas, Texas. Today, I would like you guys to see the real me. The arts education has been there for me all my life. I've been acting since the age of 3, and being in dance lessons, vocal lessons, acting classes has taught me lessons that I can't even learn at school. The arts has been a big impact on my life. It teaches me that not only that I can speak in front of a crowd and show them that I am myself and they can accept me for me. I know some adults that can't even do that because they're afraid. But TCO teaches these children how to read and how to write. Even if they don't, they get the attention, they get the care that they need. They are engaged. And I love working with these children every day. I love them. I love these children so much. And TCO has done so much for the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Pettis.
The next speaker, Lily Rose Thomas.
Good morning. It is my pleasure to be here. My name is Mrs. Lily Rose Thomas. I live at 3117 50th Street, Dallas, Texas. And it's just wonderful to be here this morning. And this is my granddaughter, Aisha. I'm here representing TCO because she's been a part of TCO since she was in the fifth grade. And she has did commendable performance on all her classes since she was in the sixth grade. And I'm here to ask you all to please do not let TCO go unfunded, because it's a very good program for all ethnic groups. TCO has done a lot for my granddaughter and a couple of her friends that she made friends when she was in TCO production. And I'm asking you all to please consider, please keep TCO going, because it's a good program. And that's what I'm here for. And thank you. And my name is Lily Rose, other known as Grandma Rose, because I take all the grandkids everywhere. And thank you.
Thank you very much.
That concludes your speakers this morning.
Thank you very much. Let's take the vote on the approval of the minutes of May 23rd. We had a motion from Mr. Cadane, second from Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. Any questions, suggestions, corrections? I hear none. All those in favor, say aye. All those opposed, the minutes stand as printed.
We proceed now with your consent agenda. For your consideration, the consent agenda consists of items number 2 through 47 and addendum items number 1 through 3. Agenda item number 9, this is a change from the report distributed. Councilmember Grayson is pulling that item for individual consideration. Item number 34 is being pulled by Councilmember Grayson due to a conflict of interest. Item number 46 has been corrected on the addendum. Therefore, on your consent agenda will be items number 2 through 8, 10 through 33, 35 through 47, and addendum items 1 through 3.
Thank you very much. I will ask for a motion. Mr. Cadane, second. Mr. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. Any questions? I'll call the question. All those in favor, say aye. All those opposed? Okay. We've approved the consent agenda as read.
Item number 9 is authorized number 1, approval of the development plan submitted to the Dallas Housing Acquisition and Development Corporation by Builders of Hope CDC for the construction of affordable houses. Number 2, the sale of two vacant lots from Dallas Housing Acquisition and Development Corporation to Builders of Hope CDC. Number three, the exchange of deed restrictions from the two lots proposed to be purchased from the land bank to two comparable lots owned by the developer located at 1816 and 1818 Denison Street. And number four, execution of a release of lien for any non-tax lien that may have been filed by the city. Councilmember Grayson, hold the item.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I was looking at this item and the next four items, and they're all part of our land bank program, and that is an excellent program. I have no problem with this, and it gets housing back onto streets and neighborhoods that need it. I just wanted to point out that each one of these agenda items says that there's no cost consideration to the city, when in truth, that isn't really exactly true. On each of these, we're foregoing liens on these properties. And on this property alone, this first item, we're foregoing $57,536 in liens. And on all of these items altogether, we're foregoing $263,316 in liens that have been put on this property. So it seems to me that by saying there's no cost consideration, we're not reflecting truly the contribution that the city is making to these neighborhoods to get these properties back on the tax rolls. And I think our agenda items ought to say that, because as part of these items, we're agreeing to forego the collection of all these liens. So I'd just like to see our agenda items reflect our contribution to getting these properties back on the tax rolls in our neighborhoods. I think there is a cost consideration. It is our waiving of all of these liens that have been put on the properties.
I think some of them have already been through foreclosure, so when they go through that process, the liens are eliminated.
Yeah.
So they could go through foreclosure and they would be sitting there, and we can.
Oh, I understand what you're saying, and I don't disagree. And they have to actually get enough liens on them to reach the point where they can be part of our land bank, and that we can then clear these properties and get them back on the tax rolls. But I do think the fact that we have all these liens piled up on these properties over the years does mean that by waiving them, we're making a contribution here. So I think there is a cost consideration to these.
Okay, thank you.
I just wanted to point that out. Otherwise, this is a great program. I have no problem with it.
Thank you very much, Ms. Grayson. Ms. Davis.
Thank you so much. I just want to say something about sometimes the liens on the property coming out of a nonprofit housing development world. Once some of these liens are put on the property and the nonprofit chattels receive these properties sometime to build and do development, they're going to put a huge amount of money back into this development. So I guess the question, Jerry, let me ask you a question, please. Because they themselves, the developers and the chotos sometimes, they put a lot of money back into this particular property and sometimes development. Why do we say no cost to the city?
I hate to get into a point-counterpoint with my own council member from District 12 where I live, but at the time that this item is brought to the council, all of these liens have been extinguished in order to get them through the foreclosure process where they're at least 5 years tax delinquent, where we can put the properties back into redevelopment. They go through a process at the sheriff's sale and extinguish all the liens. We have an administrative action that we take here that releases all of those liens so that we file the releases of those liens that have legally been extinguished over here at the sheriff's sale. So it's a two-step process that we have to go through in order to put them back into development. Now, I understand what Ms. Grayson was saying, and at the point in time, the council is being asked to act on these by the release of the liens. those liens have been extinguished. And so that's really the reason that we use no cost consideration to the city.
And Jerry, thank you, and what I want to say, Sandy, especially in my district, you take a District 7, where you now have so much vacant land. And some of these vacant lots have been sitting there since the 90s. Some of them since the 80s. And, you know, that's 25 years. And so we have to somehow deal with these type of problems for good development. And I'd rather see the city with a good developer or a good chotto to come in and rebuild neighborhoods. And so I think after 25 years, somehow the city goes back and they keep going back and back, cutting the same lot, cutting the same vacant lot. And it has to be a point that we have to say enough is enough. So that's why I support the housing department and ensuring that we can get good developers and good chattos to come into these types of communities. And I would like to move approval on agenda item number 9.
Second.
Okay. I would have a few more folks that want to speak. So we'll let Mr. Atkins.
Thank you very much, Carolyn. Thank you for bringing the opportunity up to the council. And also thank you, Sandy, for putting this item. You know, one thing that I kind of agree is that we have so many vacant lots there that go to the sheriff's sale. And I had one resident came to me and said, you know what, I went to the sheriff's sale and I bought a piece of property. And I thought I paid, you know, $9,000 for the piece of property. And when I bought the sheriff's sale, and I came back and said, I'll say, you owe another 7 years worth of taxes, and you also owe all the money for us for cutting the grass. So now you owe another $9,000 for the taxes, because she thought she got a good sale, which it cost $18,000. So with this attitude is, number one, if we do see some property out there, I think it should go to land bank, because we might save some money, because some people are not going to buy the property. It's going to stay up there for the high value, and the property's going to be more value. The tax is going to be more value than the property. It's going to stay there, Carolyn. It's not going to get developed because no one is going to buy that property because it's too expensive to buy. So I think it's a good tool in the toolbox the way we're doing it. And Mr. Perkins, can you come forward for a second, please?
And Mr. Atkins, to your point, as a technical matter, the liens on the properties have to exceed the value of the property in order for us to take them through the foreclosure under the land bank laws of the state.
Well, I'm glad you you made a correction, Jerry. That's what I'm going to ask Mr. Perkins that question. You know, and that's just the main problem we have, that when we do have sheriff sale on property, that the value of that property on Dallas Can might be decal, might be $20,000. Do sometimes our lien is more than the value of the property, then go to the land bank? Is that a true statement?
Yes, that's required by the land bank statute.
By land bank statute.
That the liens and taxes on the property exceed the decal value.
Right. And Carolyn, and I think in my district, all our districts, that's something we got to use the land bank, because the property going to sit out there is not going to get developed. And with that, I support your issue. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Ms. Grayson.
I just wanted to make it clear. I do support this. I just wanted to make this point that I think we are making a contribution to this when all the liens are waived. But I do support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And let me just kind of weigh in a little bit. Ms. Davis, thank you. And Ms. Grayson, thank you for putting this so we could have this discussion. When you look at the fact that certain neighborhoods have been blighted and with vacant lots, and we've had these since the 80s, can you just imagine a community and a neighborhood with vacant lots? And then when you look at the fact that on these vacant lots, and we have so many, our code compliance officers are going out, they are putting up these little orange and green signs over and over and over again, and it is the same area, sometimes the same lots. We're clogging up our courts, dealing with the same vacant pieces of property, employees are trying to find every single day where these families are and located, and then we get to mow clean. It's costing us at every turn. This is one reason why DeSoto, for example, Duncanville, and those places are growing because of our non-reinvestment into our own community. Who wants to live and build around these types of communities? So this is a reinvestment program. This is a reinvestment opportunity. And we should, and I do support the land banks, and will continue to do so. But I want to make sure that we understand that it is clearly a potential if we continue to move forward as we're moving forward now and even ramp this up some more. Potentially, we will bring down the cost of the need of having code going out there, because instead of code dealing with the high weeds and vacant properties and stray dogs, now you're dealing with a community, a house, a family, and someone that's paying taxes, in which increases our ability to keep this city looking good. So with that, I just want to throw that set of reality in to say I support it. I think that if we ramp it up even some more, and we clean it up, restore these neighborhoods, continue to reinvest, then we'll find ourselves kind of solving these problems and concerns. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Carroll. Mr. Allen.
Yeah, no, I agree and support the land bank. And correct me if I'm wrong, Councilwoman Grayson, but I think, are you trying to say that this is a good thing, that it's, that we do set aside X amount of money, but the return on that money is great, and it's something we need to be able to show what we set aside so we can promote and say what a great deal it is. We've tripled, we've quadrupled, we've 10 times the amount that we've foregone in levies, whatever it might be, and just clap for the city of Dallas, and then we can do more. Is that what you're trying to say?
Mr. Allen, thank you very much. Ms. Davis, your light is still on?
Mr. Allen, I do agree with Ms. Grayson. I understand what she's saying. She supports this item, but she would like for some recognition to be done to the city when we give these type of properties for development. And what I would like to say is that you look at Bear Street, for example, in the spring, and even some things in your area. That's the reinvestment for me. I think that's where the proof is, that the city has participated in redeveloping those particular areas. We might not see it on paper, but when you go into that area, you can see the redevelopment that has been done. That's all I'm trying to say.
Ms. Davis, thank you very much. We have a motion from Ms. Davis and a second from Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. Any discussions, questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Nay. It is passed. Thank you very much. And we'll be working with Ms. Grayson and the Housing Department to make sure that we note that. Okay.
The next item is number 34. I'm sorry, Councilmember Grayson has a conflict.
Let's show on the record that Ms. Grayson has stepped out of the room, and we'll give her a call once this discussion and vote is over. Thank you.
Item number 34 is an ordinance granting a revocable license to Prestonwood East Homeowners Association for the use of approximately 6 square feet of land to install and maintain a subdivision sign on portions of Hillcrest Road and La Bolsa Drive.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? So moved.
Councilmember Grayson, may we return to the council chamber? Your next item is item number 48, consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. There are no considerations for you this morning. Item number 49. Is authorized an increase in the annual base salary of City Auditor Craig Kenton in the amount of $8,970 from $170,630 to $179,600, plus the associated pension contribution in the amount of $824 and Medicare in the amount of $131 for a total annual additional cost of $9,925 effective May 29, 2012.
Thank you very much. Mr. Allen.
Move for approval.
Second.
Item number 50 does require a record vote. Item number 50 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain, if necessary, to acquire from Sabre Development Company an unimproved tract of land containing approximately 17 acres located on the Trinity River near the intersection of Leith and Ingersoll Streets in City of Dallas Block 7166, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the use and maintenance of a levee in connection with the Dallas Floodwater Project.
Thank you very much. Ms. Alonso.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. Move for approval.
Okay. I have a motion to approve, motion by Ms. Alonso, second by Ms. Coop. Any discussion, questions? All those in favor? Aye.
That'll be a record vote. I got a question. Mary, we don't have a problem with this, do we? I mean, they're working with us to do. Thank you, Mayor.
I am corrected. We have a record vote, correct, Madam Secretary?
Yes, please start voting. Twelve have voted. We have one person missing. Two mayors. That's 14. That means we need a total of 15. Okay. There's two people, the mayor and Ms. Hunt. Thank you for the clarification. I appreciate that. All have voted on the motion. In favor, council members Ann Margolin, Carolyn Davis, Delia Hasso, Jerry Allen, Linda Coop, Monica Alonso, Pauline Medrano, Sandy Grayson, Scott Griggs, Chiffy Cadane, Tanel Atkins, Montel Jones-Heal, absent Winbert Paken, our Council Member Dwayne Carraway, Mayor Rawlings, who's out on city business, and Council Member Hunt. The motion passes, Madam Mayor.
Thank you.
We proceed now to item number 51. I'm going to go ahead and read the following statement. This statement will apply to agenda items number 51 through 57 and addendum items number 4, all of which will require 2 seconds. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Item number 51 is authorize a public hearing to be held on June 27, 2012, concerning the creation of City of Dallas Reinvestment Zone Number 78, located at the northwest corner of Mountain Creek Parkway and Interstate 20 in Dallas, Texas, and at the close of the hearing, consideration of number 1, an ordinance creating City of Dallas Reinvestment Zone Number 78, and number 2, a 50% real property tax abatement for 7 years with Cummins Southern Springs, LLC, associated with the development of an equipment and engine remanufacturing facility.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Atkins.
Yes, Mayor colleagues, this came through economic development, and this is Scott Grid District. Scott, congratulations from hijacking another business from another suburb of the state of Dallas. It's going to create about 60 new jobs, and these jobs are high-paying jobs, about $70,000 per year. And Scott, you want to make that motion? You got something to say?
I just want to thank you for your leadership on economic development. I mean, nothing warms our hearts around this horseshoe as much as moving a business from Mesquite to the city of Dallas, and it's going to be a great addition to the Mountain Creek area where we have Niagara, we have Nestle, we have American Leather and Industrial Park, and adding this business is a great addition. So thank you, Mr. Atkins.
And I'll second.
Mr. Griggs, is that a motion?
A motion.
Okay. We'll have 2 seconds. So we have Mr. Griggs making the motion, and then we have Deputy Mayor Pro Tem second that with Ms. Hill another second. And any discussion? All those in favor, say aye. Aye. All those opposed. Congratulations, Mr. Griggs.
Item number 52 and 53 do need to be considered collectively. Item number 52 is authorize a real property tax abatement agreement with Prologis and or its affiliates and subsidiaries for the purpose of granting a 7-year abatement of 75% of the taxes on added value to the real property at Buckner Boulevard and East Point Drive for a commercial warehouse distribution facility in a Texas enterprise zone and in accordance with the city's public-private partnership program. Item number 53 is authorize a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement with Prologis and or its affiliates to provide funding for the construction of public infrastructure improvements in support of the development of a commercial warehouse distribution facility at Buckner Boulevard and East Point Drive in a Texas enterprise zone in an amount not to exceed 50% of the cost or $800,000, whichever is less. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Mr. Atkins.
Ms. Davis, I'm going to let you go first.
I move to approve this item 52.
And I was stuck in.
Now, have you read in 53?
Yes.
Did you read in
52 and 53? Yes.
Okay, I'll move to approve items 52 and 53.
We have a motion by Ms. Davis to approve items 52 and 53. 2 seconds from Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins and Councilmember Cadane. Any questions?
Just one question, Cheryl. Thank you for also, this came through economic development. It's going to create another 35 jobs in the city of Dallas, and this company also came from a suburb to the city of Dallas.
Thank you very much. I'm trying to tally up as we go how many new jobs in our city, so that's good. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Thank you.
Item number 54, authorize a development agreement with U.S. Real Estate LP to provide funding for the construction of public infrastructure improvements to support the development of a multi-building commercial industrial business park at the northwest quadrant of Daniel Dale Road and Old Hickory, funding subject to future City Council authorization of a construction contract. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you very much. Mr. Atkins.
With colleagues, this is another opportunity to potential for the $104 million development. A couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, we had a Home Depot project that we had a joint venture with DeSoto and Dallas to do infrastructure on the roof. And we are doing this along with the city of Dallas in this particular development to improve this infrastructure to bring in a potential $104 million investment to the city of Dallas with this move to be approved.
We have Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem, I may have the wrong project, but I believe we need to give Ms. Coop some credit for getting the transportation piece of this taken care of, the access transportation piece. Am I thinking of the right project?
I don't think so. I don't think so. We can give her credit anyway. We give Ms. Coop credit anyway. Don't get the chair of transportation upset now. We give her credit.
Thank you,
Ms. Coop.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, you accept the credit, Ms. Coop. Okay, we have a motion, Mr. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. Second from Ms. Davis. Did I hear another second? Mr. Caraway, another second. Ms. Margolin. Okay. All those in favor? Aye. All those opposed? Okay. Thank you.
Item number 55 is authorized, number one, a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement with Horizon Scripted Television in an amount up to $200,000 per year for up to 6 years to promote local economic development, stimulate business and commercial activity with the added benefit of promoting Dallas in the media through the production of the television series Dallas, and number two, an increase in appropriations in an amount not to exceed $980,000. This item will require 2 seconds as well. We do have two speakers signed up. Your first speaker is Kenneth Topolsky. Mr. Topolsky will be followed by Joe Dishner. You each will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. If you will please state your name and address for the record. When the timer turns to zero, please allow the next individual to return or address your comments to Mayor Medrano. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ken Topolsky. My local address is 1409 South Lamar, Dallas, Texas, proudly. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Deputy Mayor Atkins, council members, thank you for allowing me to speak this morning. On February 7th, 2011, my colleague Cynthia Cidre, Mike Robbins, and I were given great news. TNT and Warner Horizon had told us that our project Dallas was going to be greenlit and going to be made. And then they said, and you're going to have to figure out how to do it. So we want to put you on a plane, send you to Louisiana because they got tax credits, and you can figure out how to make that work. And we said, what? The name of the show is Dallas. And they said, okay, well, you'll figure that out. He said, well, really? And they said, well, okay, we'll let you go to Austin. We heard Austin had good music. We figured we'd make that trip. And then we said, okay, we'll do this, but we got to go to Dallas. On February 12th, we're able to make the second leg of our trip, Dallas, got our rental car, saw the skyline, and we knew our show was home. Never made it east of Loop 12. What we've discovered since we came to Dallas was an amazing community, a community of resources, be it filmmakers, many talented ones who are here in all crafts, from acting to office staff, to all of the gamut of talent that it takes to make a film. I'd like them to stand up and thank them. Thank you. And this is the strength of our show. And your city is the strength of our show. Since we've been here, we found partnerships with the Arts District. We found partnerships with workforce, partnerships through the city manager's office, partnerships through the Visitors and Convention Bureau, and through all of these partnerships, we've been able to make a better show. And by making a better show, we're going to provide an audience of millions and millions of people throughout the world this evening to see the magic of your city. I'm getting news feeds every few seconds from all over the world talking about our show. And it's amazing how many of them talk about the optimism that's shown in this city and how important it is that the fiber of this show is organic. And that comes from being able to film in this city. We could not do it without your help. And I thank you for consideration. And I thank you for the help you've provided and the help you are now considering. Hope you enjoy the show.
Thank you. Next speaker is Joe Dishner.
I'm Joe Dishner. I live at 3449 Westminster in University Park. I'm a local. Grew up in Oak Cliff. The city support has been great on season one. It's just been enormous. Everybody's still standing. What this group represents are actors, agents, technicians, office staff, Teamsters, IA members, and they're all local. And the impact it's made on, certainly, I think, all the cast and crew's lives, and certainly my life, is the fact we get to work at home. I started out in the 80s and was very lucky to be a location manager and then a UPM. And then when it dried up here, I ended up working in Atlanta, New Orleans, Los Angeles, Phoenix, all over. And it was a wonderful experience, but there's nothing like being at home, nothing like paying, my goal has always been to pay only Dallas and Texas taxes, and you've helped me do that. The other thing about this group that's so wonderful is the fact it's it's your support has afforded us not only the older crew members and technicians to be able to come back and actually work and make a living in the city we have chosen to be in. We've been able to train an enormous amount of young talent that can take those skills to other shows, to the internet, to sales, to every aspect of their lives. So I just wanted to, thank the city and all the different city agencies and so forth for all the help they've given us so far. And this privilege of working in Dallas and growing Dallas and growing the Texas film community is a privilege. And I know all that work on the show take it as a privilege, and they don't take it lightly. And I just want to thank the council and the entire city for all their support and hopefully their continued support. And I don't need to remind anybody that at 8 o'clock tonight on TNT, we will be airing the first two episodes. And one of the other great things about this is the fact it's really, really good. It's really, really good. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. So sorry, you two speakers, Madam Marie. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, just let us know a little bit about tonight.
Well, tonight is the beginning of the airing, which is tremendous. 8 o'clock, as Mr. Dishner said, on TNT. I hope you'll all tune in. And if you're not watching at home, please come down to the Texas Theater and join us at the watch party that we're going to have. It's going to be very special. And for the cast and crew, we're doing, and the VIPs, you're all invited to join us for a pre-reception as well to celebrate tonight. It's very special.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr.
Hatton. Thank you, Madam Chair. First, thank you and thank Dallas for being here. I have to thank Jeff West, even though Jeff West is looking above, looking down here, and Jeff has a good vision to make sure the show came to Dallas. Also, Mary Soon, Ryan Evans, Carl Z, and all the council members who saw the preview of Dallas. Again, Madrano's at 300 more jobs came to Dallas. The impact is unbelievable. If you look at V Magazine and all the TV shows came in, it's about Dallas. All across the world is about Dallas. And you think that the city of Dallas is not thinking out of the box when it comes to economic development. We are thinking out of the box. The restaurant, even Rudy Chicken, Duane, they're going to be there. They're about to be there. But anyway, no money could pay for this advertising for the city of Dallas and the marketing for Dallas. I mean, this is a home run for the city of Dallas. We have over 1 million people who live in the city of Dallas. Everyone should turn their TV channel to TNT at, 8 p.m.? 8 p.m. to look at that to make sure we have all the different episodes coming back to the city of Dallas. So we're going to sell this. I know it's going to be a hard road to follow because Mr. Carway is a great producer and marketing expert, and he gonna say all the great things and advertise how we're gonna sell this show. But colleagues, tonight, just buckle your seat in. It's very exciting, and I'm gonna be right there with my popcorn and standing and Linda. When we first got there, we sat there and said, we're gonna be here for 15 minutes. We're gonna leave, At the end of the show, everybody was still there. Even Angela Hunt's still there, and the baby still was calling her on the phone and saying, you need to come home. Your baby's crying. So this is a show that's very exciting. It doesn't a soap opera. Again, thank you for bringing this show to Dallas, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Atkins. Ms. Hossel.
Before that, I need to move it to be approved. So I'll make sure we move
you
will, it forward.
Okay. You make the motion. Mr. Gudane, make the second.
I'll make the motion.
Okay. Ms. Hossel.
Yes, I want to definitely second that motion. And thanks to Ken Topolsky, Joe Dishner for speaking and for telling us the integral parts of what the impact of this series is on our city. All of the goods and services that are being purchased or being purchased for the series are being purchased here in Dallas. You're using all of our young talent that's out here in the audience. Where's Jeff West Jr.? There he is. Jeff West Jr., if you'll stand up. Thank you for all your work on this, and certainly, you know, we've memorialized your dad. I also want to thank all of the folks that are behind the scenes. My son is up there as a supporter. Eric, will you stand up? He's a supporter and just had to be here with you guys. But more than that, it really does give Dallas a worldwide attention. And we have not gotten this since Dallas stopped. So we need to take advantage of this. Certainly I'm supporting this motion. But let's make sure that we understand the huge impact of this series on the city of Dallas. And thank you again to the producers, Joe, Cynthia Cidre, Robert, the director, all of you guys, and TNT did a fabulous job of bringing the premiere here. They didn't have to do that. So again, thanks to TNT, if you're listening, and make sure that if you're not at home watching this at 8 o'clock tonight, that you're at the Texas Theater on Jefferson Boulevard. We'll be there kicking that off as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Hossel. Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And let me first say that you all are saying that this show, and you're telling people to the show is at 8 o'clock, and to make sure they're there at 8 o'clock. I don't agree with that. Make sure that you are there sitting in your seat and that you have it on TNT at 7:45. It's very important that you get your popcorn, as Mr. Atkins has said, that you get settled because you want to see the very first beginning. So I don't want you getting there rushing and turning it on and then you miss 15 seconds of anything. So I want you to make sure that you tune in advance, okay? So I would encourage you to tune in at TNT at 7:45. Let me also say that this show, and I've been excited and a JR fan all my life since the 80s. I mean, you know, South Fork Ranch, Dallas rediversified, the show Dallas rediversified the city of Dallas. It was Dallas, this show was just as important to us as the Dallas Cowboys. So that's the level that I put this show Dallas on. We would just get to the televisions and would sit around the families just to see Dallas to figure out what is JR up to next. And Sue Ellen and all of the characters that made Dallas this show what it is. I want to commend the folks for choosing our city again, for going bypass of Austin and New Orleans and Alabama and anywhere else that they tried to show you. When you saw the skyline here in Dallas and you expressed the hospitality that you received, we want you to know that we appreciate you. And we're very excited. Are we going to promote it? Oh, absolutely. Now, I do want to say this one thing. I have a press conference today at 12 o'clock. And yes, this is Dallas. And we won't see no sagging pants on this Dallas show. I want you to know that. This is all Cowboy and JR Ranch, all right? So we're going to make sure that we clean up our part so that we can keep this show to the level of excitement and appreciation that we have for it, okay? I just personally want to say thank you, and I am excited about it. I mean, I've been watching it, and I've been excited to see how you're blending in the characters. I've watched it, and I'm so excited. And Jeff West and Jeff Jr., this was a dream of your dad, and without his open arms embracement of it. I don't know where we would be, but I just want to encourage everybody to know that Dallas is on stage, and we're on stage today as the number one city, not in America. We're the number one city in the world. They will be watching this in China and everywhere else. So we're going to keep the polish on our city, and we're going to welcome you and do the things that we need to do to make sure that your show, our show, is successful, and you are welcome.
Mr. Cadenz, thank you very much for leaving us a little bit more time for others to think of some nice things to say. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. All the things my colleagues just said here are so true. It's great exposure. Be sure and do what Mr. Carraway suggested and see the opening shots because they spotlight our city. It's just wonderful. But more than everything else, you all have got to watch this. It is so good. We were glued to our seats. Right, Pauline? I mean, it was so great. Oh, the backstabbing and all of it. I'm telling you, we couldn't wait to see the next 5 minutes and what was going to happen. So you all just have to watch this just because it's so good.
The treachery. Yes. Ms. Grayson, well said. Ms. Hunt. Did you really get a call from your babysitter?
Well, I got a call from my husband. I did have to go home. I did have to go home to know. I can't tell you how frustrating it was because 45 minutes into this amazing show, I'm hooked. I'm hooked. And, you know, I would almost vote against this just because this is now another obligation I have. I've got to watch this show. But it's truly amazing. So I haven't gotten to see. I was talking to my colleagues, I guess it was last week at lunch, and they were telling me, I said, don't spoil it for me. But they said, oh, you got to watch the rest of it. And so now, you know, now I'm hooked. But I just want to say to the folks who, you know, who are here in Dallas, you're going to be so proud of this show. It's an amazing production, and like Sandy was saying, just the opening credits. I mean, colleagues, we couldn't get these opening credits done for the amount of money that we're providing today, this small sum. But it's an amazing marketing tool for the city of Dallas. But like Sandy said, it's just a great show, and I can't wait to see what I missed. I'm so frustrated, but I'm excited that I get to see it tonight. Thank you for doing this, and thank you especially to Janice. She's done such great work. She always has, and she's just been fantastic on this. Just fantastic. So thank you again for being here. We want to have you for many years to come, and everybody tune in tonight, TNT at 8 o'clock.
Ms. Hunt, thank you very much. Ms. Coop was, you know, as I walked up, Ms. Coop was just at the red carpet, just waiting to see the stars. So, Jeffy and Ms. Coop, and they had some kind of tally going on who had the best shoes.
Yeah, we did give out the shoe awards. There were lots of impressive shoes. There's no doubt about it. The women had very impressive shoes. Well, for those of us who've lived in Dallas all our lives and we saw the original Dallas and we were, you know, a caricature of ourselves. This is deliciously devilish. We really think it is great that, again, we're sort of a caricature of ourselves because it is diabolical. At the end of the, everybody was diabolical at the end of the, I guess it was the first season, the first show that we saw and the pilot that we saw that night. And I think that it was just as good as the last one. Kudos to the entire staff. We want you to be so successful that you're here for another 15 years. And honestly, what was so terrific about it, I know I speak for my colleagues as well, is when they did the promo shot over Dallas, here were all the new icons that we have in Dallas, the Omni Hotel, the Calatrava Bridge, just a spectacular shot. Of course, the reunion ball. I mean, just all the spectacular icons that we have, structural icons that we have here in Dallas. And so we really appreciate that as well. And I just have a little storyline maybe for sometime in the season. There you go, got your pen. Sue Ellen, Governor of Texas. I think you're leading up to that. I think that's a good storyline for you guys.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead. Oh, I forgot one thing. To tell the council and everybody, you now have a billboard up in Times Square that says Dallas. Just in. Just right. In. Thank you, Ms. Coop. And I also would like to thank Warner Horizon. They're just the great. And Janice, thank you very much for your leadership and just getting us through through that premiere. It was wonderful. Ken, I remember the day that we met you. I think it was Ms. Hassa and I first met you and Cynthia here in Dallas when you were just talking about it. So I'm glad that we made full circle here. And, of course, regards to Cynthia and Michael Rubin, also the director. I want to thank you. And Jeff Jr., just thank you for allowing us to share your dad with you. And much loved, and this is just absolutely a tribute to his leadership as well. Folks, I just want to say that night at the premiere, I got to say just a few things and have heard a little bit about the premiere. And all I could say was it was an arsenal of lies and betrayals and schemes. And all I could say is J.R. has not missed a beat in all these years. So be sure to watch 8 o'clock tonight, TNT. Thank you. A motion and a second. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Well, everybody's going to watch tonight.
Items number 56 and 57 need to be considered collectively. Item number 56 is authorized number 1, a development agreement with Allen GPLP to dedicate future TIF revenues for project costs related to the construction of a public parking garage at the northwest corner of the intersection of Victory Avenue and Olive Street in the Victory Subdistrict of Tax Increment Financing Reinvestment Zone number 7, Sports Arena TIF District, and number 2, the Sports Arena TIF District Board of Directors to dedicate an amount not to exceed $33,271,841 from future Victory Subdistrict Sports Arena TIF District revenues, a portion of which in the form of an economic development TIF grant in accordance with the development agreement. Item number 57 is a resolution declaring the intent of Tax Increment Financing District Reinvestment Zone number 7, Sports Arena TIF District, to reimburse Anlin GPLP up to $33,271,841 for project costs pursuant to the development agreement with Anlin GPLP. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you very much. Mr. Atkins.
Yes, Madam Chair, this came through Economic Development Committee, and with this, I'm going to move this to go forward.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion from Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, second from Mr. Cadane, second from Mr. Caraway. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Thank you very much. Next item, please.
We move now to addendum item number 4. Authorize an amendment to the terms of a housing redevelopment loan provided for the Parks at Wynwood located at 1910 Argentina Drive, to forgive $850,000 of the current balance of the loan, to receive a partial payment of $500,000, to amend the terms of the $843,750 remaining balance of the loan to a 5-year, 0% interest loan, and to reimburse the city $125,000 for master planning for the Parks at Wynwood and the Wynwood Valley Village Shopping Center, with all amended terms subject to certain conditions to be negotiated in future definitive agreements. This item does require 2 seconds.
Mr. Green.
Thank you. I'll move approval and just say a few remarks. John Green is here. John, stand up. This is a great day for Wynwood and the direction the Wynwood Shopping Center is going to go. Oh, sorry. Yes, this is a great day for Wynwood, the Wynwood Shopping Center. Not only are we going to get some new apartments there, but we're going to free up some land for market rate development. And Bank of America is paying $125,000 for the City Design Studio to do a master plan for the area. And that's really going to kickstart economic development. So this is not only looking at housing, but it's looking at the economic development component. We're putting it all together, and this is a great deal.
Thank you very much. We have the motion from Mr. Griggs, a second from Ms. Hassel, and a second from Ms. Hill. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Congratulations, Mr. Griggs.
Madam Mayor, those are all your items for this morning.
We will be back at 1 o'clock. It is 10:12. Thank you very much, council members. Good afternoon, everyone. If the council members and the and members of the audience will take a seat, we will begin our meeting. It is 1:08. We welcome you back. We're back in session. Madam Secretary, I'd like to move the tourist PID up to be the first. Yeah, 68. I'm sorry. Yes. If you'll read that into the record.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I apologize, I kind of rushed in here. We're going to begin with item number 68. I am required to read the following statement into the record. This statement will apply to items number 68 through 72. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of these cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Item number 68 will require 2 seconds. A public hearing concerning the establishment of a tourism public improvement district for the Dallas area for the purpose of increasing hotel activities within the city of Dallas to be funded by a special assessment on Dallas hotels with 100 or more rooms based on hotel room nights sold, and at the close of the hearing, approval of number 1, a resolution establishing the district for 5 years, number 2, the service plan for the purpose of increasing hotel activities within the city of Dallas to be funded by a special assessment on Dallas hotels with 100 or more rooms, and number 3, a management contract for the Dallas Tourism Public Improvement District Management Corporation, a private nonprofit corporation as the management entity for the Tourism Public Improvement District. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item? Are there any speakers that would like to speak on item number 68? You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. You please state your name and address for the record.
Is your mic off?
We'll speak up a little bit louder, okay? Can you hear me? Okay.
Thank you. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. If you would please state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Valetta Forsyth Will, 622 Blair Boulevard, Dallas, Texas, 75223. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here to support the tourism PID. I am representing the Dallas Arts District. We're excited about the opportunity to tell the story of Dallas on a larger stage. Dallas is a city of great diversity, great opportunity, and overwhelming options, but we have not been telling our story to everyone. In the past, we've spent a remarkably small amount on selling tourism in Dallas, a mere $100,000 for tourism. This offers us opportunity to sell not only to conferences, but also to tourists. Meanwhile, our competition, whether it's cities from Houston and Cleveland to Elko, Nevada, and Fort Walton Beach, Florida, are touting cultural options to the world. The Tourism Public Improvement District allows us to step onto that larger stage and solidify our identity and offer visitors and conventioners options. We understand that much of the money will be spent on incentives for conventions, but part of the budget will be spent on an important new marketing and branding campaign for our city. Defining our community, what is exciting about Dallas, what is unique about Dallas, is what will bring more people to Dallas. We believe an important component of that is culture. Hopefully you have in your books the agreement that the Dallas Arts District signed, the Dallas Convention and Visitors Bureau Board, or with the Convention and Visitors Bureau, specifically with Philip Johnson and, or Philip Jones and myself. We were interested in two things as components of the overall branding. One, that there be a cultural tourism officer for the city of, for the DCVB. One has been hired, but unfortunately she's left. But we anticipate that another one would be hired. This would keep us in line with our other cities in the nation, almost all of whom have cultural tourism officers. Then secondly, that the arts and culture be an important part of the branding campaign of a city, that we are part of the identity. And indeed, whether it's visiting the African American Museum at Fair Park or going to the Nasher Sculpture Center in Dallas and the Arts District, or indeed going to visit to hear Sarah Jaffe at the Kessler Theater, all are important to our community and part of selling our community. We encourage you to pass this PID and support generating money to bring more conventioners and tourists to Dallas, Texas. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, the Honorable.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak on the item? Any other speakers? Please step forward. Thank you. State your name and address for the record.
I'm sorry, I need to be certain this is the right place for me to speak. I'm on the open microphone group.
Well, we're in a public hearing on item number 68. If you signed up and your name appears on that list, we will call you at the end of all the items.
Okay.
You can. Thank you. Are there any other speakers? Any other speakers on item number 68? No further speakers, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much, and I definitely would like to recognize two of our colleagues that sit on the board of directors for the Dallas Convention and Visitors Bureau, with Ms. Ann Margolin and Ms. Delia Hassel. Ms. Hassel, you're the first one to speak.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and I just want to take this opportunity as the Vice Chair of the Dallas Convention and Visitors Bureau to thank many thanks to the Hotel Association and all of the hotels that agreed to be assessed a certain amount of money so that money could be raised to do all the things that the Honorable Valletta Lil talked about in terms of making sure that we have good tourism and a good plan to bring people to Dallas and that they see our wonderful new hotel and the wonderful new convention center as we continue to make improvements to it. So thanks again to the Hotel Association. Thank you to Philip Jones for heading the DCVB, Ken Benson, Matt, all of you guys, thank you for working so hard on this. It's been a long time coming, and so I look forward to making a motion to approve item number 68. Now, we will take this in three different motions, so I make a motion to approve item 68. Again, thank you again to all the hotels.
Okay. Yes, there is a motion made by Ms. Costell. And second by Ms. Margolin.
2 seconds.
And Mr. And Deputy Mayor Pro Tem, Mr. Atkins. Any more discussion? Any further discussion? Any questions? Ms. Margolin.
Yeah, I just want to add my congratulations and thanks, first of all, to the hotel owners for creating what essentially is an assessment on themselves in order to promote Dallas and to get, as they say, I've learned the expression, more heads in beds. This should raise about $10 million a year. Half of that will go to incentives to try to attract conventions to the city. The rest will go to a little bit to the convention center itself and the rest to promoting Dallas, which we know includes, as Valletta Lil so eloquently said, funds to promote Dallas as a cultural destination, which is important to all of us. And so I want to thank everybody at the DCVB who was involved and the hotel owners for making this possible. And as I said before, I want to second this. Thank you.
Ms. Margolin, thank you very much for your comments. Mr. Atkins.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mayor. First, I'd like to thank Anwar Golan De La Hosa, you know, for their time and effort. You know, time is very limited, but yeah, time to sit on the council, also time to sit on that board over there to make sure things like this come before Dallas, especially in the market, the entire state of Dallas. And colleagues, I think this is a great opportunity that this $10 million we're going to raise from the hotel that will surprise everyone here that the marketing activities for all part of the city, the art district, the we got so many great things here in the city of Dallas that we need to market. And I think the first thing we need to do, make sure the people come to downtown. And I wish John Crawford was here. I wish he was here for downtown, that we need to make sure that the people who come to downtown can get around quicker and easy. And I also get outside the downtown area to visit the Bishop Art District, the Fair Park, all the other cities, the great golf course we have in City of Dallas. So thank you very much for bringing this to our attention, Della Hanso and Anwar Golan.
Anyone else? I don't have anyone else. Okay. So, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? 68 passes. Madam Secretary.
Thank you. We proceed now to items number 69 and 70, which need to be considered collectively. Item number 69 is a public hearing regarding the annual assessment rate for the Tourism Public Improvement District for the Dallas area for the purpose of increasing hotel activities within the City of Dallas to be funded by a special assessment. Excuse me. By a special assessment on Dallas hotels with 100 or more rooms based on hotel room nights sold. Item number 70 is an ordinance establishing classifications for the apportionment of costs and the methods of assessing special benefits accruing to the hotel properties in the district, approving and adopting the 2012 assessment roll on file with the city secretary, closing the hearing and levying assessments for the cost of certain services and or improvements to be provided in the district during 2012, fixing charges and liens against the property in the district and against the owners thereof, providing for the collection of the 2012 assessment, and providing an effective date. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on item number 69? Item 69 is open to the public. Any speakers? No speakers, Madam Mayor. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you very much. Ms. Hassel.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move to close the public hearing on items 69 and 70 and move approval.
Motion by Ms. Hostel, second by Ms. Margolin, another second. The second by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. Any questions? Okay. All those in favor, say aye. All those opposed, passes. Thank you.
We move now to your zoning consent agenda. Your zoning consent agenda consists of items number 58 through 62. Item number 59 has been pulled by Councilmember Alonzo, and item number 61 by Councilmember Cadane. Therefore, your consent agenda consists of items to be considered 58, 60, and 62. Item number 58 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an NFA Neighborhood Service District and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property zoned in R-7.5A single family district on the southwest corner of Sine Road and Bellstar Drive. Item number 60 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a public library on property zoned in MF-2A multifamily district on the southeast corner of Marsh Lane and High Vista Drive. Item number 62 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to specific use permit number 1255 for a public school other than an open enrollment charter school on property zoned ATH-2A townhouse district on the west line of Pleasant Vista Drive, south of Elam Road. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items that were read into the record? Are there any speakers in opposition? Are there any speakers in favor? Three items were read into the record. Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Madam Mayor.
Okay. District 5, Ms. Hill? Okay, we have a motion to close the public hearing and approve item 58. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, so I have a second from Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins and a second from Carol Davis. Okay.
Madam Mayor, just to clarify, this is the consent consists of items 58, 60, and 62.
Okay, so.
Thank you. And only one second
right.
is required.
Only one second. It's on the consent. Okay. All right. So we will the items that were read, the three items that were read in the record, we will have Mr. Atkins and Ms. Davis, or Ms. Hill and Mr. Atkins move for approval, close the public hearing, and approve the three items that were read into the record. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Item number 59 is a public hearing regarding an application for an ordinance granting an IM industrial manufacturing district and a resolution accepting the deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a metal salvage facility on property zoned in IR Industrial Research District on the north line of Northwest Highway east of Luna Road.
Madam Mayor, we sent 7 notices to property owners within 300 feet of their request. We received 1 reply in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve this item? Any speakers in opposition? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Madam Mayor.
Okay.
Councilmember Alonso did pull the item.
Okay, thank you very much. Ms. Alonso.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move to hold this item under advisement to the June 27, 2012, with a public hearing held open.
Ms. Hill.
May I speak directly to Council?
Absolutely.
Ms. Alonso, would you consider a different date just because of the length of the June 27th agenda? We're going to be here all night.
There's no other. That'll be the last one.
I mean, this is the only other action item in June, up to the will of the council.
It's the only action item in June? You meant agenda.
It's the only remaining action agenda.
Right. But I'm asking, is this time sensitive? Or would you consider holding it over?
Madam Mayor, I'm holding my motion. Okay. So I guess Ms. Hill, the answer is no.
Okay. All right. Thank
okay.
you very much.
Ms. Alonso has moved to hold this item until the June 27th, 2012 meeting. Do I have a second? Second by Ms. Hasso. Ms. Davis, I am so sorry. Okay. So Ms. Alonso moved to hold this until June 27th, 2012, and second by Ms. Davis. Is that right? Okay. Any questions?
She's bringing Dylan, right?
It's going to be a long meeting. Okay. All those in favor? All those opposed? Okay. So 59 is held until the June 27th meeting. Thank you.
Item number 61 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for a public school other than an open enrollment charter school and R-7.5A single-family district uses on property zoned in R-7.5A single-family district with specific use permit number 1592 for a monopole cellular tower on an internal portion of the property on the west corner of Eastern Road and North Cliff Drive.
Madam Mayor, we sent 223 notices to property owners within 500 feet of their request. We received 12 replies in favor and 18 replies in opposition.
Thank you. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Sir, if you'll please come up, state your name and address for the record. You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak.
My name is Stephen Vance. I live at 573 Classen Drive, South Texas 75218. The reason I oppose this is because the traffic within that area is already congested with the children that are coming into the school. There is no enforcement of the traffic laws within that area, I've repeatedly asked for help on this. And unless the school or some city will bring support for another officer to come and at least police while the construction's going on, I feel that further congestion will occur and it cause harm to the kids that are already playing out there, as my 3-year-old and my 2-year-old son. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
Carl Crawley, 900 Jackson Street, Dallas, Texas, representing the DISD. I'm not going to sing the fight song because I don't remember it, but I went to this school and graduated a few decades ago. This is a 10 classroom addition, and there's been no additions to this school since I graduated, except for some modulars. There'll be no more kids in this school. Actually, there's been somewhat of a decrease in enrollment in this school. But this is to replace some of the modulars. The construction is all internalized. It's a huge site. It's like 18 acres. It's sort of an L-shaped site. The addition is sort of the inside of the L, I'll say. We hope to get construction started immediately, if not sooner, so some of that can be going on during this first summer and stuff. They're also doing some renovation inside the school. But traffic-wise, there should be no additional traffic because there's no change in the enrollment. So we'd ask that you follow the staff recommendation and the Planning Commission recommendation to approve it. And I promise I won't sing that or the Skyline fight song either.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Gaday.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In agenda item number 61, I pulled it because we had a small change in our briefing, so we needed to change it. So I move to close the public hearing and follow the City Plan Commission recommendation for approval with the following change. Screening is not required for off-street parking. Thank you.
All right, Miss Davis.
Yes, Chester, what's the name of the school? Mr. Cadet. What's the name of the school?
Hill Middle School.
Okay, thank you.
Do you know if any of the, Mr. Cadet, do you know if any of the feeder patterns have changed there at all? Or Carl?
Any of the what? No.
The feeder patterns?
No.
Different elementary schools?
No.
Okay.
No, ma'am.
Hearing no further questions, all those in favor? All those opposed? Thank you very much.
Items number 63 and 64 were deleted on the addendum. Item number 65 is a public hearing on authorizing a public hearing to determine proper zoning on property zoned MF-1A multifamily district on approximately 18 acres generally located on the northeast corner of Spur 408 and Grady Niebler Road, with consideration given to appropriate zoning for the area, including use, development, standards, parking, landscape, signs, and other appropriate regulations. We do have individuals signed up to speak on this item. Those individuals will be called first, after which it will be open to the rest of the public. Your first speaker is John Cionetto. Individuals, again, are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
My name is John Cionetto, 6739 Trailblazer Way, Dallas, Texas. Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem and council members, for allowing me to take this opportunity to say that I am in favor in changing the zoning to take off the multifamily zoning issue. My wife and I, several years ago, moved to Dallas, and we're trying to find a home in the Dallas area, since we both work pretty close to Dallas. We looked to different cities, Plano, Allen, Forney, Sunnyvale, and other cities, but we decided we wanted to stay close to work. And we found an area of Dallas that we heard some negative things about, which was Southwest Dallas. And we drove through there, and by accident we found some development that was going on, and really loved the area. We saw that it was a preserve area, very hilly. I call it the Hills of Dallas, very, you know, close to being like it was in Austin. Well, not quite, but still in Austin. And we really enjoyed it. We built a home, and we lived there. And lo and behold, we find out soon before that that there was an apartment complex called Patriot Ridge Apartments that was being built just north of Grady Niblo Way and on off 408. And quite frankly, it's hideous what's going on out there right now. I realize the city council has approved that building on the escarpment. I don't feel like they give a very good consideration of the traffic that's in that area and how dangerous some of it is. It's basically a country road. They're digging right now down probably past 10 feet just to make enough stability to the escarpment to build the buildings on. I don't know if I could stop that, probably not, by myself, stopping the construction and doing some other studies, but I sure do not want this to happen again on the rest of the 18 acres that's out there now. I feel like that this should not be zoned multifamily. It is a country area. There is not enough transportation there to begin with. The housing there is basically residential area, and I am in favor of changing the zoning in that area. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, sir.
Your next speaker is Art Anderson. Art Anderson. Speakers following will be Frank Bracken, Deanna Metzger, Sashka Starr, and Siobhan Bierstank.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Art Anderson, 1201 Elm Street. I represent the owner of the property. This is the southern portion of the tract that's being noticed for rezoning, Patriot Ridge Limited. We are in opposition to the request. You should have received a packet on Friday from Mr. W.O. Henry, who's the property owner's representative. And as part of that packet, he indicated that he's a disabled Korean War veteran. So he won't be able to be here today. I think it's important to note in the packet that the owner of the property and the project has agreed to set aside 20% of these units for military veterans. That's a way, at a reduced rental rate, as a way of giving back to his community and to the military. This property has been zoned MF1, which is the lowest MF category in the city for, I think, over 30 years. Property was purchased to build an apartment project. A loan was procured to finance the project. This is going to be a high-quality, grade-A complex. It's relatively low density. It's below the maximum for MF1. It's going to have green appliances. It'll be gated, highly secured. $250,000 in landscaping is going to be installed. In this case, the developer did all the right things. Before he even filed his permits, he informed the council member from for the district of the project, even though he already had the existing zoning in place. All of the required development permits were obtained. An escarpment study was submitted by a well-respected geotechnical firm and approved by the staff. I think the council needs to consider, what would a downzoning accomplish here? The apartment project is currently being built, and the developer has complied with every Dallas ordinance and has received all the required permits. To prevent the development or to slow it down would be a violation of the state vested rights statute and would probably be a regulatory taking, which could expose the city to monetary liability. If the property becomes non-conforming to a downzoning, it may be more difficult to make repairs or refinance the property. And does the city want to take an action that could result in changing a Class A property to a substandard property? If the downzoning is initiated and it goes through the rezoning process, at the end of the day, when it comes back before the council, the property owner is going to file a written protest. That's going to trigger a 3/4 vote by the council to downzone his property. In the interim, there's going to be a lot of staff time and energy and a lot of time and energy by others during that process. We think that the council has more important issues to focus on and would request that the property not be rezoned or subjected to that process. Finally, we're unaware of any other situation in which the city has initiated a downzoning as the property was being developed in accordance with the existing zoning. As I worked with Kirk Williams, that goes over a long period of time. There's no reason to start here. So if you support fairness, quality development, area businesses, and property rights, we would request that you vote not to initiate a downzoning with regard to
that. Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Thank you very much.
Your next speaker is Frank Bracken. Frank Bracken, not present. Deanna Metzger. Speakers following will be Stashka Starr and Siobhan Biershank.
Thank you for your time. My name is Deanna Metzger. I live at 6708 Nature's Way in Dallas, Texas. And I'm here today requesting your attention to the potential safety issues regarding the proposed Patriot Way apartment. As it stands right now, and I brought a packet, just so you guys understand, I've never done this before. I just feel extremely passionate about this issue because there's a very high propensity for potentially loss of life. I mean, I hate to sound so dramatic, but it really is that big of a deal. The existing of the structure that we have currently, it's an exit off Spur 408. And as other people have stated, it's basically a farm road. And this farm road is not equipped to basically allow for about 400 extra cars to this. It's a two-lane blacktop. On this service road, you have blind turns, you have dead man's curves, you have two-lane by traffic, you have 180-degree turns, and I don't think that, I mean, I brought packets, but I know that that's not the protocol to distribute this, but I'm really concerned that we haven't given it proper consideration in the potential safety issues. Like I said, I've never gotten involved in this type of thing, and I've taken off work to do so today. And I really respect your time and just having the ability to speak about this. But when you're adding about 400 people to a blacktop two-lane service road, it's not about having low-income housing or any of that. It's about you're having a lot of people there, no sidewalk, no absolutely no shoulder, no lighting infrastructure, and it's a high propensity for safety concerns because you're looking at kids playing out here basically right along a highway exit. And I know that a lot of people don't know where this is because it is a farm road, essentially. And you're going to have a three-story apartment complex. Regardless of whether it's proposed for potential veterans, there's going to be kids there, and they're going to play on this area. And the problem is there's a huge safety concern. I don't think that we've really looked into the infrastructure strains that could occur because of it. And I don't know the protocol, but I have brought packets. And I think I brought enough, if that's okay. And I took these pictures myself. So, again, this is not professional by any means. This was just moving here. And so you're not going to see high-quality pictures. You're going to see me taking pictures out of my SUV to really help illustrate how scary it is, really, for lack of a better word. And it's not about building. It's not about any of that. It's just about you have to think about when you have 400-some-odd families coming to a place, if you don't have at least a road for them to be on, you've got a blacktop two-lane road, guys, right off the highway.
Thank you, Metzger. Thank you very much for coming down. It's great to be involved.
Your next speaker is Sashka Starr.
I'm Sashka Starr. I live on 5428 Kavanaugh Road, Dallas, Texas, which is really just on the road approaching that unfortunate Patriot Ridge development. I am here to support the request for change of zoning. The present zoning is a grave mistake, which needs to be corrected. The city should investigate how it could ever happen that this zoning occurred in protected escarpment area. This town should never happen in honestly run city. This location is not only escarpment, but desolated area far from public transportation. City is not planning any new public transportation for this area. Believing that any poor or disabled or impaired person can get to any public transportation or public services is plain irresponsible. I would like to see that you, the people representing us, citizens, will show some common sense this time. It is not too late to correct the mistake in order to avoid multiple and more grave mistakes leading to more responsibility for later problems or catastrophes, or maybe even lawsuits. This is an extreme example of poor city planning, and I am pretty disappointed to see it all happen. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much.
Your next speaker is Siobhan Beerschenk.
Hello, my name is Siobhan Beerschenk. I live at 5415 Cliffhaven Drive, 75236. Thank you for taking up this topic, and I thank Councilman Briggs for getting it on the agenda. As a 15-year resident of Cedar Vista, I come before you to ask that the property in question be considered for rezoning. I ask this because I am concerned about my neighborhood. I apologize that this was not handled long ago. I was there, as I said, 15 years ago, and we've known all along it was zoned multifamily. But anyone you asked about it told you that not to worry because this was escarpment land and nothing would ever be built there. So if we had known that the escarpment land designation would be changed, we would have brought this issue up long ago. I realized that an engineering report declared the land not escarpment. However, in the same report in which this was declared, extensive recommendations were given on what should be done to stabilize the land for building and maintaining it, with the concern that the land would have seasonal shifts of up to 10 inches, work that would need to be done in an effort to counteract the problems an escarpment poses. I drive by this piece of land many times each week, and when digging began in early spring, it was easy for anyone to see the escarpment line, the area where the layer of limestone met the layer of shale at the surface. It matched up with the delineation of the escarpment and the Niblo historical property, which is directly across the street from it. And this was declared by the city. Since then, there has been extensive grinding of rocks and mixing of soil on this property, all in an effort to minimize the expected seasonal shifts of escarpment land. Even with this extensive preparatory work, if the apartments are built, they will need constant maintenance to the foundation and the land around them in an ongoing effort to prevent foundation damage. These efforts will not guarantee the integrity of the buildings, and to neglect them even slightly will jeopardize the stability of the structures, leaving our neighborhood in danger of having a crumbling apartment complex adjacent to it in just a few years. As I understand it, the zoning change will not halt the building of the Patriot Ridge Apartments, but will at least prevent more apartments from going in on the escarpment land adjoining it. In addition to the problem with the land, traffic on the streets of our neighborhood is a concern. Our rural roads fit perfectly with our rural type of neighborhood, which includes two camps, Camp Wisdom and Camp El Har. We are even on a rural poster route for the city of Dallas. The roads are not designed to handle high traffic demands or speeds above 20 miles an hour. We are already having difficulty with speeding, especially on Redbird Lane and Kiwanis, as people are using these roads to go from I-20 to Spur 408 when there is a slowdown on these highways. The number of cars in our neighborhood will easily double with the addition of the Patriot Ridge Apartments and would triple if another complex were allowed to go in on the adjoining land. There would be far more traffic than our streets can handle and would be quite dangerous given the nature of our two-lane blacktop roads, blind curves, and two-way service road on Spur 408. Multifamily zoning is not appropriate for this land.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak on the item? You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. If you'll please state your name and address for the record. Staff will be asking you to please fill out a speaker card if you have not already received one. It will just help us keep our record straight and contact you if needed. Thank you.
Yes, my name is Matt Murray. I live at 8479 Wine Cup Ridge, Dallas, Texas. I'm a resident of District 3, the Mountain Creek area. I currently serve as a vice president at Dallas Baptist University. We have 5,500 students in Southwest Dallas. I'm here to speak regarding a letter from W.O. Bill Henry to Councilman Griggs. It was sent out to homeowners all throughout the area, and I hope to provide some insight. As a university, we keep pretty good records. During the time period that Bill Henry references, I was serving as DBU's Director of Community Relations. I've looked through my records to see if I could find any communications from Mr. Henry or others regarding the project. I've also consulted our housing executive, our executive vice president, and our president, and we have absolutely no recollection of any contact between Dallas Baptist University and the developer or any of their associates regarding this project, nor have we any record between former City Councilman Dave Newman about this project. DBU prides ourselves as being good neighbors in Oak Cliff and Dallas and surrounding communities. DBU does not see this apartment complex as a good fit for the community and the neighborhood. We are opposed to this development because of zoning, traffic, safety, our 5,000 students. It is just not a good fit for the neighborhood. I, as a resident of the area, am opposed to this development and the zoning. It just doesn't fit. Thank you.
Next speaker.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Lomax, 6430 Dixie Garden Lane. I'm in the Cedar Vista area. I didn't plan to speak this afternoon, but after hearing the opposition, you're all intelligent people, and I know that you will do the right thing here, and the right thing is to approve the money to rezone the rest of the properties. The builder has stated that he's building this for veterans. Veterans can live anywhere they want to. They don't need him to build them an apartment complex, nor do I think that he's doing that. I think he's doing it for profit. What do you think? Thank you.
Are there any other speakers?
My name is Joe Turner. I live at 6714 Nature's Way, Grady Niblo Estates, Dallas, Texas. I hadn't planned to speak today, but I did want to address a few issues. I would like the property rezoned. A few of the reasons are on page 3, there's a picture looking up a road. I take that road every day back and forth to work. On the way to work, I see people get off that highway and they're using the northbound lane that is for southbound lane traffic all the time because they do not understand the area, and so they risk not only my life, my wife's life, the other community's life, and that's the way it is right now. As far as the veterans, I am a veteran. And it would be great to have a place for veterans. And a lot of veterans are disabled. They're in chairs. And I'd like to know how somebody in a chair is going to travel around that community. There's no stores. There's nothing for them to go to. Trying to get in and out of that road that's so dangerous now for veterans, it seems like, they come home and then we take care of them on our roads. The other one is single family homes. Most of those apartments are one bedroom apartments for a family. That seems a little tight, if you ask me, especially in a housing community and with a road like that. One more thing. I know if you do this, if you change whether they're going to build it or not, and if you stop them, I want you to know that it will cost you. There's expenses, as the man said, that'll have to be taken care of to put that land back the way it should be. You're going to have extra work to do, but you've already been told what you'll have to do if you do what's right. If you do what needs to be done to possibly save lives, you'll have to do a little bit of work. If you do what needs to be done to protect the taxpayers and the people that live in that community, you'll have to spend a little money and do a little extra work. But I know that we want to build Dallas, and we want other taxpayers, and we want other stuff, just like a home, a church, or whatever. But we need to take care of those we have and take care of the interests of those that are there, or who are we serving. But if you do serve us, it will cost you some time, it will cost you some money, and it will cost you some effort. Thank you very much.
Next speaker, please.
We're going to wear you out, aren't we? My name's Bob Langford. I live at 238 Van Round in Duncanville, Texas. I'm part of the Merrifield family. We have a farm that's just west of this area. In fact, the good state here about this time, 408 is 100 acres of Mr. Merrifield's property. So we've been there a long time. Merrifield's been here since 1856. And, of course, quite frankly, we would like to leave it as farmers because this is the last family-run farm in Dallas County. I guess there's a number of things that's wrong here. First off, I think the zoning was changed in 1975. I don't think any of these people lived here in 1975, so they didn't get a chance to vote as to whether they wanted to change the zoning or not. When we found out the zoning was changed, our council member, Mr. Gregg, said it's too late, and he was right. It was too late. It's already done. They were going to build it. So there was not a whole lot we could do. It's built on the escarpment. It's my understanding that the testing they made for the escarpment, there's some problems there. There's no traffic, as these people have told you. There's no good way to get around. There's no transportation. What you're trying to do, I think, is help the HUD people that's going to be in these properties. There's no way they could get around. This is still, although we don't think it's much like farmland, but this is still in the country. It's a two-lane highway, very twisting and turning. Been there a number of times. I don't ever remember having a sign put up in 1975 since we've been there saying that they're going to change this, that the zoning is going to be changed. So, I don't like to use the word, y'all are not old enough to remember the word hanky-panky, but there's a lot of hanky-panky going on there, I think. So we'd like for you to take this into consideration. Maybe too late to do what they're building here, but there's something wrong when you would come in way back there you would change the zoning and then not give the people that's got to live in there a chance to say whether they want it or not. We really don't want it. Thank you.
Next speaker, please. I just have Frank Bracken. Mr. Bracken. Please state your name and address for the record.
Frank Bracken, 5717 Kiwanis, Dallas, Texas.
How much time do we have?
3 minutes.
3 minutes?
Okay. I'd like to address a few points related to Mr. Henry's letter that all of you received. Original application by John Riley Price, signed by John Riley Price in mid-2008, showed Henry Billing as the builder, contrary to the statement that he got on the project later. Mr. Henry also states that he spent several hundred thousand dollars plus building permit fees. The impression in the letter that I got was that he wasn't reimbursed. That money, according to the FBI, the affidavit, was subtracted from the sale price to John Wiley Price. The Newman letter that he refers to was never presented to the community at any time. Actually, the community asked Mr. Newman to set up a meeting with Mr. Price, which he promised to do, but never did. The Henry letter expressly ignores common sense rationale when advocating for disabled veterans. The lead statement by the developer, quote, "The community will take advantage of our steep sloping site, thus giving the maximum natural panoramic view of the lake and the hills," unquote. Can you see wheelchair vets or anyone else seriously injured navigating on a steep slope? 34 feet of elevation change on a small site, piece of cake in a wheelchair, I guess. Imagine bunkered or levied building pads, which they're building out there now if you'd like to visit, for disabled vets or anyone else. Quite an obstacle course. Ever thought of what it would be like to walk on a sloped surface when it's wet after the sprinkler or rain, or if you've had a sleet storm and you're disabled? The location is not conveniently located near the VA for other needs. For an impaired vet, this is like Alcatraz. Nothing around it remotely connects to the issues at hand. This is an ill-conceived site, inappropriately zoned when viewed in context with its surroundings, that justifiably cries for rezoning to single family. Likewise, the similar land should be rezoned to single family to avoid any mushrooming of an ill-conceived notions. Please support the rezoning funding before you today, and join those who've already supported Mr. Griggs. And we'd like to thank those who have supported us already. Continue, and I hope the rest of you will join. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Are there any other speakers on the item? No further speakers, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And just to summarize, this is a very rural part of town. Probably, I know many of us know the city of Dallas. There's three big camps near there. The Boy Scout camps on the south side, and we've got the Girl Scout camp. We've got the Christian camp, El Har, and to the west with the Merrifield Farm. And this is an area with blacktop roads that are two lanes, not many street lights, no curb and gutter. Many of the residents are on septic tanks. And so this zoning, having multifamily zoning in this area, is just too intense. And so this project and this proposal is, let's look at the area with all these multifamily tracts in one of the most rural parts of the city and see what's the appropriate zoning. And also look at the traffic situation, because we've got an apartment complex that's already permitted. It's coming. And so what's the best way to handle it? Because if you look at this handout, this is one of the worst curves around. I know we got some other bad ones in Southern Dallas, SMY, but for just two-lane blacktop, this is one of the last 90-degree turns left. And also in the city of Dallas, this is the last two-way service road. If you go out to Spur 408 over there, you're on the east side, you got a two-way service road. That's how rural it is over there. And so we need to get a traffic plan. We need to look at what's the appropriate zoning. And I've extended my hand in friendship to the developer, saying, be part of this process. I've called the developer. My calls haven't been returned. I've left my cell phone number. I said, give me a call on the night. Give me a call on the weekends. Call my office. I want you, and I'm extending a hand of friendship to you today. Work with us. Let's talk about what's appropriate for this area in terms of zoning, in terms of traffic, because I know you don't want to build this. You don't want to have any accidents at this curve. You don't want any accidents at this dead man's curve. So come here and be a partner with the city. Let's see how we can get a proper traffic plan. Let's look at this area and say, what is the best zoning? And so that's why I'm extending my hand in friendship to you today. Let's work with the community. It's great to have the community there. Let's sit down and see what's best for this area. Let's see what's best for Cedar Vista. Let's see what's best for the city of Dallas. That's why we're here today, colleagues. So I move that we push this forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have a motion to close the public hearing?
To close the public hearing and to move forward with the authorized rezoning process.
Okay, and we've got 2 seconds. We've got Ms. Hunt and Mr. Atkins. Next one on the list is Ms. Margolin.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I was just wanting to clarify that this was not the hearing that was going to determine the outcome, that this is a hearing to call a hearing, because I was hearing a lot of discussion in the audience that seemed that people may be thinking that this is where the decision is going to be made, but what we're doing is simply deciding to call a hearing to go through this process. So just wanted to clarify.
Mr. Cadet.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. That was my concern too, Scott. This doesn't change anything. This just gives us a hearing to look at it and see what might be good. It'll still be MF1 until we're through with the hearing, correct?
Correct. And what this does is authorizes staff to start getting involved. We can look at the traffic. We can look at the zoning and come up with a plan. And I know work with the community and hopefully work with the developers.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any more questions? Okay. So we have a motion to close the public hearing, and that was made by Mr. Griggs, and we've got Ms. Margolin and Mr. Atkins seconding that motion. All those in favor? Aye. All those opposed? And that didn't seem very... Let me call the question again. I mean, everyone has to at least voice vote.
Aye.
Okay. All those in favor? Aye. All those opposed? Okay. Thank you.
Item number 66 is a public hearing on substantial amendment number 15 to the fiscal year 2011-2012 action plan for the housing opportunities for persons with AIDS, HOPWA, grant to establish a housing facilities rehabilitation repair activity and reallocate $150,000 of unobligated funds from the housing facilities operations activity to the housing facilities rehabilitation repair activity. And at the close of the public hearing, authorize final adoption of substantial amendment number 15 to the fiscal year 2011-2012 action plan. We do have one individual signed up to speak, after which all the rest of the public will have an opportunity. Cameron E. Williams, Sr., can you allow 3 minutes to speak? Please state your name and address for the record.
Good afternoon, City Council. My name is Cameron Evan Williams, Sr. I'm the representing owner and founder of Dallas Disabled Homeless Warriors Organization. And I
ask you to speak a little bit closer to the mic, please.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, the address is 700 East Ash Lane, Euless, Texas, 76039. In reference to Schedule A, Unit 754D, $150,000 subtracted from the $575,000, leaving $425,000, and moved to the housing facilities rehabilitation fast repair. I believe it would be more advantageous to divide the sum of $150,000 from the emergency / tenant-based rental and supportive services budget to keep the housing facilities operational. The funds allocated from the housing facility operations is key in the operating of the facilities within the requirements of the law. Based on that, is basically my opinion, but based on that, the City Council would be letting the public know that they are more interested in making sure that there's facilities in operation for the AIDS and HIV victims. Based on that, also the statistics state that every 9 minutes and 30 seconds there is a person being infected by AIDS and HIV, which shows that there is a drastic need for facilities to take care of these individuals. off of the 51% of the Sturma on the Wapahopwa. The beneficiaries have an ongoing housing need that will most likely reoccur. That means that these people will become homeless again if these facilities are not given the adequate funding to keep these people in housing. I have one question for the City Council, and that is, why isn't the new activities given a special, specific amount to be utilized instead of saying that the activities exceed $100,000? Is there any reason why there isn't a specific amount? If anyone can address that question.
Jerry, available?
Which part do you want me to address? The $150,000?
Yes.
Well, we're not, we have either four or five agencies, HOPWA agencies, that are provided operational activity. $425,000 is about where we feel that operational monies will come in. This year, we've had some money carry over for what was approved, which originally was $575,000. So what we're asking the council to do is to allow us with that $150,000 to put out an RFP that would allow these agencies to give us proposals on improving their facility. There are some of the facilities that have told us that they need some work on their air conditioning, their plumbing, the roof, and this all allows them to use the money for repair work on these facilities that are housing individuals with AIDS at this time.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Jerry. Mr. Cameron, you have about 30 seconds left.
Oh, he did not address the amount on the $100,000 that was stated, a specific amount. Is there any reason that can be quoted?
Mr. Cameron, if you'll address.
Yes.
And make your comments to me, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is there any reason why there isn't a specific amount for those utility funds?
Mr. Cameron, you've got about 9 more seconds, and I will have Mr. Kellingsworth speak with you after your comments, but you've got about 3 seconds left.
Okay, I'll finish. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Jerry, if you'll, Mr. Cameron, we'll address all your questions.
Are there any other individuals in the public that would like to speak on the item? Any other speakers? No speakers, Madam Mayor.
Anyone with a motion?
I move to approve item 66, please.
So you're closing the public hearing, Ms. Davis?
Yes, I would like to close the public hearing.
I'd like to close the public hearing, Ms. Davis, and Mr. Atkins will be seconding this. Any questions? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you.
Item number 67 is a public hearing on the proposed fiscal year 2012-2013 consolidated plan budget for U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development grant funds and the proposed fiscal year 2011-2012 reprogramming budget. We do have two individuals lined up to speak. The first speaker is Ronnie Matthews.
Your second speaker will be Cameron Williams, and I know he's talking with Mr. Cummingsworth at this point in time. Please state your name and address for the record. Ms. Matthews, you may proceed. State your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Okay. Renee Matthews, 1930 Gallagher Street, Dallas, Texas, 75212. I am here on behalf of the New Pilgrim Rest Missionary Baptist Church, located in the heart of West Dallas. We've been there for over 50 years. We are definitely a pillar in the community. But we have taken on the charge of creating a community park. This park will provide after-school activities, summer programs. It'll have something for everyone. I've given you all packets, and on the front of the packet, you will notice all of the things that we're putting in this park. There will be a kids' zone, volleyball court, basketball court, a prayer garden, as well as a walking trail. We're trying to get our community up and active in a safe environment. I know that we have the YMCA. I know that we have the Maddie Nash Center that's not too far from us, but there is a charge for all of those things. And I'm sure you all are familiar with West Dallas area. It is an economically challenged area. And for that reason, we want to offer something to the community that's going to afford them the same opportunities that, you know, other people have. The centers are fine. They're already there. They're wonderful. But again, if you are in that group of people that are facing economic challenges, you can't afford to send your children to the YMCA or the other centers that are in the area. So what we're doing is building this park. We're creating this park with the community in mind specifically. And in that packet, you'll also notice pictures that I've enclosed. These are some of the before and after pictures. The project started in April, and we have done quite a bit of work through our own church investments as well as donations from other people, whether it be labor, materials, just their time and efforts, even if it's someone bringing water. We've had the community join us in this effort to make this park come to fruition. So if you flip through there, you will see the progressions that have been made. It started off as a jungle, and where we are now, the trees are down, the dirt has been levied and brought up, but there's still a lot of work to do. There's still a lot of work to do. So I am here on behalf of my church to make you all aware of what we're doing and just basically ask for your help. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Your next speaker is Cameron Williams. Okay, thank you. Are there any other individuals that would like to speak on the item? Do you have an individual coming forward?
My name is Frances Wagner, and I want to talk about East Dallas Health Center's dentistry. I hope that you will continue to fund its work. It does so much work. From children starting to take care of their teeth all the way up to geriatrics like me. It takes such good care of people. It is a great need for the area that it's in. People come from Farmers Branch to our clinic. No comment?
This is our time to listen to you.
Our time to listen to me? Well, we just want you to keep funding our dentistry. That's the main thing. Please do not cut our money off. Because it's just so great. You should see all the children that go in. And they come out happy. And that's not the case at all dentist places. That have translators that take care of people. It's just marvelous. It's just really fantastic. please, please keep funding our work at East Dallas Dentistry.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your comments and we appreciate you coming down. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak on the item?
Good afternoon, members of the council. My name is Sharon Boyd, and I represent Community Dental Care's East Dallas Dental Center, the Seniors Dental Program. I have personally received outstanding dental care from Community Dental Care throughout the years. You may remember that I came before you last year to request continued funding for Community Dental Care. Because you voted to continue funding, many patients like myself were helped. With good dental care, other ailments that lead to higher medical costs were avoided. Thank you. I am here again to ask that you not decrease those funds. As you know, Seniors Dental Program is a very well-run, efficient, proficient, and caring program. Because the clinic does such a fantastic job with the funds they currently have, to reduce those funds would cut deep into the much-needed dental care given to low-income seniors. We need those funds, all of them. To reduce the funds would most likely result in cost-cutting measures that would directly affect the care given to seniors, the people who need it the most. If you have parents, you probably know how difficult it is and how they resist going to the dentist, usually placing dental visits at the end of their financial expenditures. Seniors often neglect going to the dentist on a regular basis, and oftentimes when they do arrive in distress, ordinary measures cannot be taken and substandard care is out of the question. Cost cutting due to a shortage of funds directly affects the level and amount of care the dentist is able to provide to their senior dental patients. Certainly, more money is always needed and appreciated. However, the doctors and dental staff who work in the Seniors Dental Program at the Community Dental Care East Dallas Dental Center just want to maintain the standard of care that is given to each patient, and this depends solely on the funding received in order to give consistent care. I thank you for your time.
We thank you for yours.
Are there any other individuals that would like to address the item?
Yeah, my name is William Hyken. They was down here asking about the church on Gallagher, about a point. I would like for, if you have any money for the park in West Dallas, it would be very helpful. West Dallas, we're at Matty Nash. I was begging for a park at Matty Nash by 10 years, maybe 15 years now. They took down the swimming pool. The kids in West Dallas don't have no swimming pool at Matty Nash. They took the playground. And so the parks department come back with a playground at Matty Nash. It's for like 2-year-old or 3-year-old. And if you're older than 2 or 3, it's nothing that Matty Nash you can play on. For the kids, like the teenagers, and if you're 10 or 12 or something years old, it's nothing that Matty Nash you can play on. The kids have never had nothing at Matty Nash for the last 10 or 15 years to play on at the park. So it would be very helpful if you could help the church with the park, because the kids need something. We need some kind of help in West Dallas for the children. They got 2 swings at Matty Nash. It's the first park the Ku Klux Klan invented, designed this park at Matty Nash. The Ku Klux Klan designed the park at Matty Nash for them to have 2 swings out of. Damn, it's so pretty. pitiful, West Dallas so pitiful. We don't even have a restroom, Miss Madrono. At no station, you can't even use the restroom. A woman, a man, you're talking about pulling up your pants. We don't even have a restroom in West Dallas. And I'm here asking about a playground for the kids. We don't have nothing in West Dallas to be gratified about anything. We don't have nothing. So I would just like to, if you have anything, instead of giving the money to the white people, you know, federal government send money for the poor, and you give it away to the white people and the white people downtown. If there's any time, you know, you can help the people in West Dallas, Ms. Madrono, what, you want to say something? What? Say it.
You have 44 seconds.
Okay, that's what you want to say? And I'm telling you about it. We don't have nothing in West Dallas. You want to tell me about it? How many seconds I got? And you play like y'all care about the kids? I'll take this 30 seconds. I want to say this. This is a pitiful city council. All of y'all is pitiful. Thank you.
Hopkins, thank you very much. This period was for comments. And the hearing will continue until June the 27th. But it's your time to comment on the things that you want and you need.
Are there any other speakers? We do have another speaker coming up to the podium.
Hello, City Council members. My name is Ozuma White. I live along Chief of the Texas African Afro-American Igbo Tribe. You know, I kind of got in on tail end, so it has something to do with Dallas. I would like to have something to say. You know, West Dallas don't have anything, and it never had anything, okay? We got cracks on our streets this big. The infrastructure is all messed up. Telephone posts are leaning over about to fall. I don't have 3 minutes when I come down. If I would like to get some pictures, I'm trying to get some slides we can pop up on. I want you to see what West Dallas look like. And I am ashamed of maybe not this council, but those who have been representing my district. You know, I was once told by the ex-mayor that, you know, when you say you've been in West Dallas 63 years, what have you done in 63 years? I said to myself, brother, you don't know, I've been trying to do a lot. You all won't listen to me because I guess because I'm a so-called Negro, y'all think I'm dumb and ignorant. But Ozuma is a lot smarter than you think he is. And I do believe in God, and I know God will take care of things. But some of you all that don't believe, when things hit you and above you, who do you think it is? You just wait to see. God don't tolerate you all messing with his children. I'm not talking about you all particular. I'm talking about those who've been sitting there over the years that haven't done anything. I don't see anything in West Dallas to be proud about but the West Dallas Housing Project. I remember when we stayed in the mud. You all took all our taxpayer money and you built a West Dallas project, gave paid street. They went to James Madison. I went to Booger T. We had mud all in the hall, mud all in the locker room. When it rained, the Giants had paper towel there with mud on. We had a hard time. Those who were trying to make it, I'm talking about those who were trying to buy houses and trying to make it and not stay in government housing. Y'all went and put paid streets all in the project in government housing, and you did us terrible. West Dallas, I'm sorry, but I have nothing to be proud about it, and I have nothing to be proud about a lot of people that represented me over the years. I'll be 63, and like I said, I don't tell my kids or nobody else. You all is sad what you all have done to us. I'm out of here, but it's really sad. And I'm praying, I'm going to keep on praying, because God is going to do something about it. I have faith. I've been obeying the law all my life and everything. And you know what? Y'all treated me like dirt. But that's all right. All these constables, city council, 3 times for constable, 2 times for city council. I didn't win nothing. But guess what? One went to the pen. Others in the constable suit. Pen got thrown out for felony. Pen got thrown out for felony. Signed the wrong paper. Got thrown out for that. Everybody I know got thrown out except for Laura Palmer, my good friend Laura Palmer, who's the city council down. Everybody else got the hatchet. If they didn't get it there, they went somewhere else and got it. God bless you all.
Are there any other speakers on the item?
Yeah, my name is Brian Wooden, and I was just looking at this public hearing to receive comments on what is the budget? How much money is this?
What category is it in? Are we supposed to really come up here and give you information concerning with this statement here? Where do you get information concerning this? Because where is this money? How much money is it? Is so much money being misappropriated around this city for community development? And if this is all the information we get, and then y'all, how can you choose anything? How can I discuss anything concerning the budget? And I don't know how much money it is. How much money is it, Mayor Mondrano? How much money are we talking about? How much money?
This is came from the Community Development Commission, and we have different categories on HUD money.
I studied accounting and administration, received a certificate of proficiency when I graduated, yes. I know it has to be categories, and I know there has to be money. But where is the money? We made the money in State and Thomas was community development money, and poverty-stricken people didn't receive anything out of that. So where do we find out how much money this is, and how are we going to categorize the money before y'all vote on it? Where is the meeting for that?
I know that the community development commissioners did have community meetings throughout our city, and I believe there was at least 4 community meetings. Am I not correct?
So y'all already decided.
Would you?
So y'all already decided where the money is going, and we just what?
No, we did not. We are receiving public comments right now on the
need dental help in East Dallas. We need poor people in this city need everything, and we don't need no rich folks with our money. This is poverty-stricken. This is community development money. I was vice president of Dallas Community Action when they were here. This is money for poverty-stricken people, not for saving all those rich folks over there spending my money. And now I want to know where this money is going and how much it is.
Ms. Wooten, if you will finish on your comments, we will then answer your question.
Okay.
Okay?
So, but this is the last, so y'all finna vote on where the money go now.
No, ma'am. This hearing, public hearing continues until June the 27th.
Okay, and then I want the meeting dates and stuff when you're where the money gonna go.
Miss Wooten?
Mrs. Wooten, you're not been married 5 or 6 years.
If you'll speak into the microphone, so we'll
That's why I can't get my papers by my man, because I'm married. Go ahead. Go. What you saying? What you saying, Ms. Montana?
All I ask is that you speak into the microphone so we can hear you.
You didn't hear me. All right. What do you want to tell me?
All right. Thank you, Emily.
Thank you, Ms. Wooten. Jean, will you step up, please?
Are there any further speakers on the item? I'm sorry. Excuse one moment, Mr. Sheridan.
No, go ahead, Mr. Sheridan. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Rich Sheridan, 0222 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. To add perhaps a little bit more clarification to Ms. Wooten's question, mm-hmm. A public hearing received comments on the consolidated plan budget, Department of Housing and Urban Development, and proposed fiscal year 2011-12, financing no cost considerations to the city. Now, it's my understanding that about 6 months ago, it was in the news that there was a case that was closed 2 years ago. The case was against the city and county of Dallas for misappropriation of HUD money, and the indication was that over $1 billion of HUD money has been misappropriated. I think, Ms. Wooten, that's one of her main concerns. If we're going to be spending money in the future, is that money going to be spent appropriately? Has the money been appropriately spent in the past? I think the city needs a briefing on the history of HUD money over the last 10 years in the context of a case. Is there a case in the court against the city and the county for misappropriation of HUD money? That's the question before the council today, and that's the question I believe the city of Dallas, the citizens of Dallas, deserve to hear. And there's a lot of other cases of corruption that are still in the works. Don Hill, Potashnick Miller, and the FBI investigation into John Wilder Price et al. So again, we deserve a status of the HUD monies that are under question for misappropriation, And then what are the funds that are going to be spent that hopefully will have no legal cost consideration, litigation consideration to the residents of Dallas? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Sheridan.
Are there any other speakers on the item? No further speakers, Madam Mayor.
Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Let me just say, and I appreciate the young adults here from TECO and you all's art program. So good to see all of you, and to both my little buddy watching that. Let me say that I just refuse to sit here and to allow a particular community to be put on blast. Especially if it is not true, beyond the folks that are here, to the people that are listening, and to those residents in West Dallas. We understand that there are needs in West Dallas, South, East, North, and all over the city of Dallas. But let me say this, West Dallas is a very beautiful community. West Dallas has been under our spotlight for many years through those of us here that served on the park board and those that served on the city council, those that are serving and representing West Dallas now. West Dallas is nothing like some of the speakers that come down here and claim that the playground at Maddie Nash, Miss Maddie Nash, rest her soul, and Miss Myrtle Davis, whom the rec center is named after, they were extremely, extremely pleased and proud to have their names affiliated with such a fantastic recreation center in their community that they worked so hard, so very hard to achieve and to make sure that their community was a shining diamond. Certainly there are things that need to be corrected in my district at Beckley Fainter or any other parts of my area. But to come down and to put in people's minds that West Dallas is poverty, well, it is not poverty. West Dallas is one of the most safest communities that we have in the city of Dallas, and it's on the rise up. And when you look at it and you look at the people that live there, West Dallas is the only community in this city, one of the only communities in this city, that you can drive by this afternoon and see families outside of their front yard mingling with folks sitting on the porch, Miss Smith knowing Miss Johnson and all those folks taking care of their community. There's a lot of work being done over there. And I'm not going to sit here and just lay back and folks say there's no playground at Madden. It is a playground. There's always been one there, and there will forever be one there. And I support you all and your effort with the church. Yes, granted, we need to have more churches that are doing things like you all are doing, and that's expanding and recognizing that, yes, there's a community center here, but we the church want to do something. That's the West Dallas love that this church is showing. And to come down here every single week and to disparage white folks and using that type of language in front of these kids, I resent it. And I want you all to know, children, while I'm talking to you all, I want you all to know that this is city government, and people have the right to come and say whatever they want to say. But this is not the behavior that we should be putting on in front of children as well. We should also have a responsibility to know how we should come down when folks are in the audience and the effect that it has on the future of these folks. Now, I'm a man about it, and I don't like it, and I want you all to get an understanding, children, to the fact people have a right, and I respect their right. But you also have to know and learn how government works and what you should do, what you shouldn't do, how you should carry yourself, and what looks good and what looks bad. Okay? Now, I encourage you all to continue, and Ms. Tico, take these children over to West Dallas and let them see for themselves the Maddie Nash Recreation Center, the parks, the neighborhoods, and the DYC. I'll pay for it myself to get them above. And then what I want you all to learn from this today is to take what you heard here and go see for yourself what it is
and then make your own decision as to how we're moving forward, and in the future, how you all are going to be sitting around this horseshoe, helping making great decisions to even make it better. Okay? I'm sorry I had to go off like this, but I just want y'all to know, I get tired of this. You're doing a great job, Scott. You're doing a great job, Monica. You're doing a great job, Ms. Madrona. And you are, Ms. Hossa, all of us that have represented on the park board, Linda, and all of us that have been here working in this full council that has voted for every positive move for West Dallas. And we're going to continue to do it, and we do recognize that there's still a lot of work to do. All is not well. But you have to get started somewhere, and you don't get started just complaining. You get started by rolling up your sleeves, coming to these meetings, voicing your opinion, and making sure that we're on point, and not just on Wednesdays when we're on television and radio, to come down here to be seen and to be heard. Right on. And just one more thing, I'm going to have security take you out.
Okay. Really, the audience really needs to refrain from commenting, please. I'm asking you one. Mr. Atkins.
I'll make a motion to move to close the public hearing.
Motion to close the public hearing by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Mr. Atkins and second by Ms. Davis. Any discussion? We close the public hearing, but we will still receive comment on the 27th. I was just coming on here. Thank you very much. Any questions? Thank you, Ms. Margolin, for the question to clarify matters. All right. I'm going to call for the question. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? And we will still receive comments on the 27th on the HUD grant fund. Thank you.
We proceed now to item number 71, a public hearing concerning the renewal of the Uptown Public Improvement District for the specified area of the Uptown Public Improvement District for the purpose of providing supplemental public services to be funded by assessments on real property and real property improvements in the district. And at the close of the hearing, authorize, number one, approval of a resolution renewing the Uptown Public Improvement District for a period of 7 years. Number two, approval of a service plan for the purpose of providing supplemental public services to be funded by assessments on real property and real property improvements in the district. And number three, a management contract with the Uptown Dallas, Inc., a nonprofit corporation, as the management entity for the Uptown Public Improvement District. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to address the City Council on the item? Are there any speakers? Please state your name and address for the record. You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak.
My name is Amy Gibson. I'm at 4409 Travis, and I'm here as the Executive Director of Uptown Dallas. And I also have our Chairman of the Board, Joseph Pitchford, and our PID Renewal Committee Chairman, Neil Sleeper. And we're pleased to report that we have our most successful renewal effort yet, receiving over 80% of our petitions from our land area and also from our property value. So we're here to answer any questions if you have any.
Are there any other speakers on the item?
My name is Wayne Wooden, and I want to make a statement about this Uptown Public Improvement District, where the principal, this Uptown stuff. This Staten Thomas, y'all use community development money to do this. Now y'all got all them rich folks over there, or people with money that ain't supposed to be over there, using community development money. Uptown Public Improvement. It improved all the black folks living in their community where they'd been over there for over 100 years. None of this money was spent to revitalize their community and to keep the historical significance of it. Now I know they're proud to come down here and brag about their community, but I still claim it because it's mine. And I really don't appreciate community development money going to Uptown for the improvement assessment. And it improved me out of the community. At least y'all could have let me stay in there, some of us. You shouldn't have had to be endorser, the Dallas Cowboys, or whoever y'all gave that money to, because we can't find where the money is. We can't even find where the $25 billion is going to the various people in West Dallas. They say it's more than that, and I really, it makes me nervous when I think about all this money y'all is just giving to rich people. And poor people are sitting around going to church every Sunday, learning about Joseph and Jacob and John now, and don't nobody know what's going on with this money in this city. And uptown, the rich people over there in them Section 8 houses need to turn them loose and let poverty-stricken people come back, whoever, whatever color they want to be. Black, brown, white, it should not be a white community. And it don't need no improvement. Just built it 20 years ago, it's already falling apart, and it wasn't built right no way. And it's time to keep up with community development money. I don't care nothing about them getting no improvement because I want my community back. And don't come down here bragging about uptown.
Are there any other speakers on the item? No further speakers, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much. Ms. Hines.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. You know, colleagues, sometimes we go about our business and we forget to that the public doesn't know all the acronyms that we throw around all the time. And I think it took me about 5 years to figure out what all the acronyms stood for. So I want to take 1 second and just talk about our public improvement district, the Uptown Public Improvement District, and what a PID is. A PID is an additional tax that the people within a certain geographic area agree to put on themselves. And then they collectively have the ability to determine what they want to spend that additional tax fund on. In Uptown, we've seen, and you can drive through there and see it today, the beautification differences, the security, the hiring of police officers for additional security when we need that. All of the things that the Uptown PID has done have improved the area, have improved property values, and have been an economic asset for the entire city. So I just want to make sure there's not any confusion about the idea that we're taking funds out of the general fund or out of community development block grant funding or anything else and conflating those funding sources with a group of folks in a very important area of our city who've come together, who've worked hard together, and who have made the collective decision that they will accept an incremental additional tax in order to fund certain additional services and beautification efforts that they want to see in their area. My hat's off to you guys. You've done an exceptional job. Neil's here, Joseph's here, and you've just done tremendous work. So thank you for all that you do. And with that, I move to approve. Thank you.
Ms. Davis. Okay, so I did not have my microphone on, so I will repeat it. I have a motion to close the public hearing from Ms. Hunt, a second from Ms. Hill, another second from Ms. Davis. Any other questions? Okay. All those in favor, say aye. Aye. All those opposed? Okay. Thank you, Madam Secretary.
Thank you.
And also seconded. Thank you very much.
Okay, to clarify, the council did close the public hearing as well as approve items 1, 2, and 3. Item number 72 will also require 2 seconds. This is a public hearing concerning the renewal of the Southside Public Improvement District for the specified area of the Southside Public Improvement District for the purpose of providing supplemental public services to be funded by assessments on real property and real property improvements in the district, and at the close of the hearing authorize number 1. Approval of a resolution renewing the Southside Public Improvement District for a period of 7 years. Number 2, approval of the service plan for the purpose of providing supplemental public services to be funded by assessments on real property and real property improvements in the district. And number 3, a management contract with the Southside Quarter Development Corporation, a nonprofit corporation, as the management entity for the Southside Public Improvement District. Are there any individuals that would like to address the City Council on the item? Please state your name and address for the record.
Good afternoon, Shannon Brown, 1409 South Lamar, Apartment 22, Dallas, Texas, 75215. I am the director of the South Side Quarter Development Corp, and I just want to thank you for your consideration, and I would like to ask for the approval of all that we've asked. For the last 7 years, we have made many improvements to the Southside PID, and we will continue to make many improvements to the Southside PID. I was under the direction of Mr. Jeff West, and he did a lot of great work for that community as well as a lot of the communities in Dallas. And so I would just like to ask for the approval. We met a little under 70%, but over 60% of the approval rate from the people that reside within the PID and our property owners as well. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers on the item?
Yes, my name is Gwang Moon. This is saying the same thing that this is saying, but 72 is clearing out the land in South Dallas for them to come over there and redevelop like they did in Staten Thomas. All the trees are still there. They're going to get some community development money, and they're going to come from North Dallas, and they're going to move to South Dallas, which will be a white community in the next 20 years with the improvement. And then they're going to sell them houses to the white people like they did Staten Thomas for a dollar. And they rehab them, and then they get community development money to come in and build these condos or something they got in England. They bring it over here on Thomas Avenue, what they call them, brownstones or whatever they are. And the white folks are sitting on the parking lot partying, getting drunk, and high next door to one of the oldest senior citizens on Staten Thomas. They ain't told out no trees in South Dallas, because when they come back over there with their maintenance, they gonna want them trees. But when they redid Fraser Court, they told that down. So when you pick on these pigs, they rebuilding this city so Meadow Road, Meadow Lane can come back to South Dallas, Forest Lane can come back to South Dallas, and you gonna be across a river of 65 miles away from the inner city of Dallas. And you better watch your money, because they're moving you away from this city. I guess black people support apartheid.
Next speaker.
Yeah, my name is William Hopkins. this is the plan. African American people be over South Dallas. Diane Ragsdale, Leo. In some kind of way, when they leave, they get houses and stuff. Diane Ragsdale got some houses she putting up in South Dallas. Leo got he working with Potasnik on a land deal over in South Dallas. And then what he do, I think that was 05, the 05 bond, Leo gave Mary Soon $25 million out of the 05 bond.
Mr. Hopkins, can you speak on the topic?
South Dallas? We talking about South Dallas?
On this?
It's not South Dallas?
No, South
Dallas. South Side. Thank you, Mr. Hopkins.
Are there any other speakers? No further speakers, Madam Mayor.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins?
Yes, I move to close the public hearing and approve item 1, 2, and 3.
We have a motion to close the public hearing from Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, a second from Ms. Davis, and then I believe I heard Ms. Coop. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much.
That concludes your items for this afternoon.
Madam Mayor, I have my light on.
Oh,
excuse me. No.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It is only tangentially related to the item. The young woman whose name is Brown, who spoke. Ms. Brown, if you are not already a member of a board or commission in anybody's district, not limited to Ms. McDonald, make sure that all of us have your name and contact information, because I believe you have the ability to serve well as a Board of Commission member, and you are a young person that we need to involve in city business. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Well said, Ms. Hill.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I have one announcement. We kicked off June Pride Month earlier this week, and I want to remind everyone that tonight is when we're having events every Wednesday evening at the Oaklawn Library tonight. Manager Mary Soom and our LGBT liaison Laura Martin will be there discussing city services and the LGBT community. So I invite everybody to be there. It's at 6:30 to about 7:30, and that'll give you plenty of time to go home and watch Dallas at 8 p.m. on TNT. Thank you.
Picasso, thank you very much for the reminder. Mr. Atkins has an announcement.
Yes, I have an announcement on June 16th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Dwayne Carroll and myself will be at Southwest Center Mall with all of the real men. Please stand up. That's calling for the Father, Son, the Church, and the Mentor Organization. Again, that's June 16th at 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Southwest Center Mall. That's Saturday. This coming Saturday.
Any other announcements?
Yes.
Ms. Alonso, sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. In speaking of West Dallas and recognizing people from West Dallas and other cities, on Monday, we're going to have the Parade of Giants here at City Hall Lobby. On Tuesday, we're going to have an opening reception, which I invite all of you. I was very fortunate and happy to be a part of creating Ms. Maddie Nash herself. From a council member, former council member to a council member today representing West Dallas, and very proudly, I must add. And so I wanted to make sure that everybody knew about it, and I invite them. And I also want to thank personally everyone that was involved, anyone that continues to be involved, not only from the Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge ceremonies, but or openings of the bridge, but also the West Dallas Chamber of Commerce, La Reunion, and I want to recognize Ms. Catherine Horsey, who is here with us today. Thank you very much. And all the volunteers, all the artists that put that effort together with all of us, thank you very much. And there are many, many other giants that we all should look forward to having here, and it was a pleasure. And thank you also to the staff for allowing and helping with that effort. Thank you, Madam Chairwoman.
Ms. Alonso, will you repeat the date and time, please?
Yes, ma'am. They'll be here starting Monday, but on Tuesday, the 19th at 6 p.m. is an opening reception.
Thank you very much, Ms. Alonso. Ms. Coops.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to make an announcement that our production staff downstairs who produces all of our TV spots and so on and so forth, they produced a series of four programs for the Dallas Regional Mobility Coalition, and they won the coveted Hermes Award. So we're very proud of them, and we just want to congratulate them and give them a big hand.
Thank you very much. Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would like to thank Tico and Teresa Watts for bringing her students down. You guys have been with us all morning, and board members and parents, thank you for coming down, and I hope you have learned something from this experience, morning and in the evening. Thank you so much.
It was very impressive, Ms. Bettis. Thank you for your comments. Very well said. And I would like to announce that tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock here at the City Plaza outside, we will be celebrating the 237th birthday of the United States Army. And all of you are welcome. We will have, I believe, a general here tomorrow. We will have a big celebration. We will also have some recruits to be inducted into the U.S. Army, and we'll also have a big U.S. Army birthday cake as well. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock here in front of the City Hall Plaza. So everybody's welcome to come. Thank you very much. And with no further business, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Speaker.
Pardon me? Oh, I'm sorry, speakers. I'm sorry. We've had a lot of speakers today, but Miss, Madam Secretary.
Thank you. We're going to begin first with the additional open microphone speakers that were remaining from the morning session and continue on. Your first speaker is Deborah Beltran, followed by Cheryl Franklin. Deborah Beltran, not present. Cheryl Franklin. I'm going to first restart the speaker guidelines. Beltrans, I'm sorry. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant at Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Can you allow 3 minutes to speak? Please state your name and address for the record.
Yes, my name is Cheryl Franklin. I live at 310 Glen Oaks Boulevard in Dallas, Texas, 75232. At this time, I would like to ask those who are in support of theater arts programs to please stand. I am here to ask Dallas City Council members and mayor and the mayor to represent your constituents by including TECO Theatrical Productions TNT program in the upcoming fiscal year's budget. This program had been previously funded through the CDBG, which stands for Community Block Development Grant Fund, and this program is one of TECO's multiple youth programs. And because you all have the fiduciary responsibility to the City of Dallas, you often are confined to what programs statistically represent. There are other youth programs through recreation centers and schools that may serve more children, but not many really serve teenagers. Yes, Dallas has a program at Acker and Canton, and you may feel that one theater program is enough, but it is not. Not only that, but when you consider the dropout rates of teens and ninth grade algebra failure rates, you see the relationship between teens and class sizes. Teens need more small class sizes and one-on-one formats. So one size does not fit all, and one program does that serves minorities, even the one across the street is still not south of the Trinity River, can serve the entire southern sector. To help display the treasure that TECO is, I sent some handwritten letters to several of you, Ms. Margolin, who's the chair of the Arts, Culture, and Library Committee, Ms. Jones-Hill and Mr. Atkins, who are on the committee, Ms. Jet Hasso, who is the vice chair of that committee and also is the District 1 where TECO is located, and also sent District 4, Councilman Kirk Carraway, where I live, sent a personal letter. And it gives the website for TECO so that you can pull it up and get a better feel for what it represents. Also, I want to take you to take me seriously and let you know that I represent many others, friends of TECO, who cannot be here today. I want you to represent the people of Dallas in this matter. 100% of the 2011 teenagers who participated in this TECO program passed their tax exams. This program has provided many children, none of which are my own, so I don't have any selfish agenda here, with a healthy alternative that builds creativity, confidence, cooperation, commitment, and citizenship. This is a program that engages teenagers and engagement prevents dropouts and provides motivation. Thank you for considering this TECO, spelled T-E-C-O, program in the City of Dallas upcoming budget. Thank you.
Okay.
Your next speaker is Deborah Beltran, not present. Otis Fagan, not present. Gabriela Reyes Cruz, Rene Matthews, Park Steens, and Marvin Crenshaw will follow. Please state your name for the record.
Hello, my name is Gabriela Reyes Cruz. I live in 1445 Cibolo Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75221. If I may please have the supporters of T-Code stand up, please. I have been with TECO not for a long time, but I've been with them for about 2 or 3 months, and they have brought me many opportunities. Ms. Walsh, she gave me my first job, paid job, She did. Even though I'm a person diagnosed with ADHD at a young age, I can still do many things that other people can't. And I'm happy about that, but I'm just really happy that Miss Walsh gave me such a big opportunity. Having to meet a very great director, Mr. Willie Miner, he taught me how to do many things as Shakespeare, how to speak in Shakespearean time. He did so many things for me. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Rone Matthews, followed by Park Steen, Marvin Crenshaw, and Ozumba Lunk.
Okay. Hello again. We talked a little bit about, well, I spoke about the community park that we're building in West Dallas. My church is New Pilgrim Rest Missionary Baptist Church. We're located on Gallagher Street in the heart of West Dallas. In the packet that I gave you, you will notice there was a fence around the perimeter of the church. The church actually extends back across Morris Street, and there was a fence back there in a very wooded area. And before that area was cut down, you know, there was a lot of crime back there, and of course we couldn't see it because of the fence and because of the wooded area. That became a hiding place for a lot of people that were doing suspicious activity. So they knew that when things happened, if they ran into the woods, guess what? The hunt was over. Who's going into the woods? So what we've done, we've taken it up on ourselves as a part of this community park project, and to make sure that we have the room that we need, we've cleared all of that out. We've taken down the fence, and because of that, the crime rate in our immediate area, I can't speak for what's on the other side of Westmoreland, but in our immediate area, has dropped. So again, I'm here on behalf of our church because we do need your help. We have a budget, but it's out of our reach. But this is something that's going to benefit our entire community. And again, it is a free park. There will be a walking trail, a kid zone, full-size basketball court, volleyball court. There's something for everyone of all ages. And it will be in a secured environment. We will have security. There will be the prayer garden, and it will be a well-lit environment. So if someone wants to come in the evening, that's fine. You'll be okay. We will have all the measures in place to provide a safe and secure atmosphere. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Your next speaker is Park Steen.
Mr. Greg.
I'm sorry.
Yes, and I think that's just a wonderful example of what's going on in West Dallas. So before you leave, if you could come back.
Ms. Matthews?
Yes, I'd like to just talk to you over there for a minute, because West Dallas is such a great place, and this is another example of what's going on there. And it's just such a wonderful community of churches there. And I fully support what you're doing. So if I could just visit with you over there and for a moment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Greg. So if you'll stick around for a little bit. Thank you very much. Madam Secretary.
Mr. Carraway, your name appears. Are you?
Yeah,
Mr. Carraway.
No, okay, thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to say this pretty quick to Tico and to the group that's here. I'm taking a trip to San Antonio, and of course my annual trip this year. We're going to the Alamo and all of in San Jose missions and. Into Austin and the Riverwalk and all those things. I want to invite your kids to go. It's June the 29th. We'll leave here on a Friday night on June the 28th. And we'll leave here on a Thursday night. And we will take the trip on that Friday. It will not cost your kids. You just need to, when you leave here, go to my office and make sure that Sloan has all of the necessary information. And we do our college tour as well. So just want to extend that. And while I'm doing that, I want to say to my council colleagues, if you have some kids, and I've said it to you, Scott, and to Ms. Davis, but Monica and Jerry and Linda, everybody, Ms. Hill, if you all have some kids, we need to know this pretty quick. And the trip is on the 28th and 29th. That's the Thursday night that we leave. We do our tour on that Friday, okay? And if y'all have some kids from the church, maybe make us aware, okay? All right, thank you. So, sign them up. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway.
Your next speaker is Park Stearns. Not present. Marvin Crenshaw. Not present. Azumba Lunt. And Robert Ciccarelli will be next.
My name is Azumba Wadalu Lunt, Chief and Minister. I call you back about this lot at the corner of Westmore and Angelina. All the debris and debris need cleaning up. It's been like after years the city go around and leave all trash in the middle of it. Could you please help us with that? I already called your office. I don't want to be here. I didn't come down here to be on TV. I come down here because a Glock got stuck in my face in 2004, and you all did nothing about it. The same guy that stuck a Glock in my face sent my son to the pen for 12 years. His son will be going on 13 years. He was a part of a drug deal family, and you did nothing to none of those guys. And then you came up to me for defending my life. You tried to give me 6 months in jail for defending my life. And I know the law, and I had a right to protect my life. But you know, I didn't want to hurt nobody unless I had to. I took chances with three guys, and I did it twice. And I hope I don't have to do it a third time. I've been promised something. I'm gonna call it a promise, but you know what I mean. You know, I want my son exonerated. He's been gone 12 years, and I also want him to get their retribution. My son, S-O-N-S, because actually it was two. 3 years after my son in prison, like I said, this happened. And when I was down at the trial for my son for 1 week, the investigator's office, Mr. Greg Long's office, standing all by the door while I'm talking to my friends and my sister, they said, Ozuma, look, they're trying to hear what you're doing. I had to go on, want to hear what I got to say. And I told my buddy, you can come on out. Look, this is the way it is, and this is the way it is. You don't like tough stuff, man. You know, and the other people that my son was against, they were lying and said that we were messing with them in the courts. I'm sitting behind my daughter, and one of them threatened my daughter and her friend. And I'm sitting behind him. I said, you know what? Three is already dead. Do three more have to die? This is what I said, because they were threatening my daughter. They were threatening my daughter and her friend, but they didn't know I was sitting behind them. My daughter in front. The boy that testified against my son, keep behind. You know, this is what they did. And everybody was against me and my son. Why? They were all drug dealers. They should have all went to jail. Every one of them should have went to jail. But they only sent my son low down and dirty. This county, this city, and daughter owed me $1 million piece. All of y'all was slaughtered me. I was slaughtered up under Laura Miller and under what's the name, the one that run for senator, or whatever the name is, Leopard. You know, that's wrong the way y'all did, man. Low down and dirty. Vietnam out vet, don't have a record, not even a criminal record, private investigator, T-Club certified, never been a juvenile or nothing, and you treat me like a dog, and you bleed drug bills against me. Well, I tell you something, you haven't did nothing in my community. I know what's going on from every crack and crevice in the West Dallas. Been there 63 years. And Mr. Coway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call no name. We're very good, but there's a lot of things still a lot of you all don't know about my community, and I can show you. I can show you cracks this big. Matter of fact, I fell in one of my bikes. That's why I was hopping a little bit around. My leg was already bad. That's why I was hopping a little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Hey, bye. Calling on God, man. That's the only one I got, and he won't take care of it.
Your next speaker is Robert Ciccarelli. Mr. Ciccarelli will be followed by Richard Sheridan, William Hopkins, Gwen Wooten, LaCoya London, and Lakeisha Johnson.
Yes, Robert Ciccarelli, 2218 Norwood Drive, Dallas, Texas. I changed my speech today. I found something very disturbing Saturday morning. I just have to say I'm very questioning the leadership of Mike Fianza and MDHA. Especially the co-partners of his, Charles Gulley and Kim Horner. The reason why I'm saying this is because we have a lady named Diane Eastham. She co-chairs the MDHA meetings at the library each Friday. Saturday morning when I was coming down on the bus, I saw her sleeping on a bench. She's a hard worker, very brilliant, very smart, very dedicated. I wrote emails to Charles Gulley and Kim Horner about this. About me seeing her sleeping on a bench and asking them if they can help her find housing. Kim Horner did not respond. However, Charles Gulley did. And however, he did not answer that email at all about Diane. He answered me about how I'm being divisive, being negative, and being, making innuendos.
He talked about how he's going to try to educate the homeless about the mental health agencies about homelessness and how to get the homelessness to be self-sufficient. I wrote back to Charles Gully, explaining me my disappointment that you didn't mention anything about Diane Ephraim, and also about being self-sufficient. How can anybody, in my email when I wrote to Charles Gully, be self-sufficient without housing? It is a black eye today if you don't help this lady. She's a very, very hard worker. Like I said, she's a very tremendous asset to the city. I'm asking Ms. Davis, Mr. Killingsworth, if you can help her. She's around the city, and she comes every Friday with meetings with Claire on the wheelchair about the MDHA. I'm just appalled the MDHA is not recognizing what she needs for help. She does a lot of work for them. I'm asking for your help for her to find housing. Also, we're having the same problem with Mike Fianza. He doesn't come to the meetings. He was supposed to come to the last meeting about the surveys that was done in January about the homeless. Charles Gully is very surprised and upset he did not come to the meeting. He had to cancel that part of the meeting, which is very important. It was in the newspaper 2 weeks ago what the mental health providers need to do to help the homeless. He had to cancel it, so that needs to be corrected also. Also, one more thing. I was at the Austin Street Shelter, me and Mike Fianza. Mike Fianza never comes to any of the shelters, never. He does not know what the homeless sleep like. He helps them with the permanent supportive housing, but as far as housing immediately, he doesn't have the faintest idea. He doesn't meet the clients. He hasn't been, like I said, to Austin Street Shelter, Salvation Army. He's never been there. So please do something. Please help this lady.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Next speaker is Richard Sheridan. William Hopkins will follow.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Richard Sheridan. I live at 3022 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. Here to speak about the power of the county sheriff with respect to what's going on in the county. Today, increasingly, the federal government and all their agencies want to impose new federal laws on Dallas County residents and on counties throughout the nation with immigration problems, gun confiscation, revenue actions, business closures, more taxation, and FEMA emergency intervention with martial law overtones. U.S. Senator Cornyn, Governor Perry, and Lieutenant Governor and U.S. Senate candidate Dewhurst have all voiced their disdain for the federal government and have reminded us of Texas's 10th Amendment constitutional rights. Will Rogers said years ago, "Don't worry when the federal government doesn't do anything. When they don't do anything, they're not hurting anybody." And that probably goes for many government bodies. We're still involved in a 7-year-long federal city hall corruption case involving Brian Potasnik, Laura Miller, and Don Hill. Mr. Hill has recently filed his appeal and may get out soon pending the appeal. This was the worst case of government corruption in city history. We are just about 1 year into the FBI's John Wiley case, et al., and this case may be much worse than the city hall corruption case. It is quite obvious from the Dallas Morning News, the same paper that indicted, tried, and convicted Don Hill before his trial even started, and the same paper that coronated Laura Miller. It is not quite obvious to the news, the same paper that had helped Mr. Price stay in office for 25 years, even up to 2 months before the FBI raid, that Commissioner Price will be indicted, found guilty, and go to prison. But what's missing falls way short in both the Potasnik Miller Hill and the John Wally Price et al. Cases. The quote-unquote white factor, excuse me for that, Mr. Calloway, but we need to define our terms. And you call me white or Anglo on the radio, I believe. The white guilt is missing. In the Potasnik case, according to attorney Ray Jackson, the FBI had sufficient evidence to indict Laura Miller. Instead, Laura Miller got an FBI deal and became a witness versus Don Hill. Potasnik, a white man and the ringleader in the case, served 9 months of his 14-month sentence and is now free to spend his $40 million plus or minus ill-begotten fortune. Potasnik wife got off, served no jail time, and while Don Hill's wife is serving 14-year sentence. The news has connected Price to two well-known white men, but the FBI states they don't have a case versus either of them. Has anyone ever heard of FBI's COINTELPRO activities? During the initial months of FBI's investigation, John Wally Price, Kathy Neely, Daphne Fainanel, a number of well-known black leaders and ministers in public meetings and press conferences stated that John Wally Price is innocent of all allegations and that Price is being targeted by the FBI's COINTELPRO group to bring him down. to take John Lloyd Price's power, who was a great black Dallas civil rights leader who's so well known to serve the black community. Well, I differ with that. I believe he's guilty. But also, if I was sheriff, I would basically call off the feds, enact the 10th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America, get out of the county of the feds, and I would call for the immediate indictment of Mayor Rawlins, of Ross Perot Jr., and John Wally Price to stop the race riot that COINTELPRO is trying to incite in our city. Thank you very much.
Mr. Sheridan.
The next speaker is William Hopkins. Wayne Wooten, LaCoya London, and Lakeisha Johnson will follow.
I'd like for Dwayne to pay for them kids to come to West Dallas. So let's go over what I said. So the kids could, you know, like, maybe they could get a little notepad and write it down of what I said. I said that the playground in Maddie Nash was too small. If you're three or four, I said, if you're 3 or 4 years old, it's nothing you can play on at Maddie Nash. I said, it's two swings at Maddie Nash. I want the kids, when Dwayne take them over there, I want them to pay attention to what I said, and I'm going to stop him from telling all these lies about West Dallas. The playground is too small. If you 9 or 10, there's nothing at the playground you can play on. Dwayne going to take the kids over there. I don't know if he's going to take them on the field trip for them to lie and say it's not what it's going to be. I don't know what the field trip going to be for, but if they don't lie because he's paying for the field trip, it's nothing at the playground you can play on. It's two swings at the playground. I want them to go. I want Dwayne to take them around to every station in West Dallas and ask them could they use a public restroom. Okay, you. I want the kids to ask, could they use a public restroom at every station? I want them to stop at every station and see if they could use the restroom. I said, you can't use the restroom. He's saying it's all nice and all this. I want them to ask that. I want them to look at Maddie Nash, the playground, like I said. No swimming pool. I want them to check and see, is there a swimming pool at Maddie Nash? I want them to ask about the boys club. What happened to the boys club? The city sued when the city sued the RSR for the people in West Dallas that never gave us the money. They sued for the Dallas boys club. The boys club is gone. The city stole the money and kept the money and don't care nothing about the kids at the boys club because the boys club got towed down. The city sued for the boys club and got the money and let the boys club close. I want the kids to check all of that. And I wouldn't let him take my kids on no field trip. When they went there on a field trip to see Martin Luther King, they slept on the bus overnight. He could never take my kids nowhere to sleep on the bus overnight for them to sleep on the bus. He could never take my kids to nothing. And I'm going to let y'all go. I know y'all got a gay parade or some GLBT or whatever it is.
What's the letter? What's the letter, bitch? Take a sip on that. Okay.
Y'all finna go to some little gay meeting, and I'm going to let y'all go. Thank you.
Your next speaker, Gwen Wooten, LaCoya London, and Lakeisha Johnson will follow.
Good afternoon. My name is Wayne Wooten. I was going to come down here today and talk about them sag pins, but I think y'all talked enough about that because it's totally irrelevant to me about how somebody wear their clothes. I think when you start trying to tell people how to dress, that just don't make no sense. There's too much stuff going on in the city to be worried about the way somebody's wearing their clothes. When you got naked women over there at the Umbie right there, right now today, butt naked, ain't got nothing on, got some little strips on them, and they over there in that swimming pool. You got white men running down the street with shorts and tennis shoes on with their dogs, just as happy as a bar, no t-shirt, nothing. They be at the bus stop, take their clothes off. So wearing your clothes is irrelevant. I was president of Channel 7 for cable access in Dallas. I had a show, The Other Side of Dallas. And I've been talking about The Other Side of Dallas since I found out it was another side. I grew up on University Boulevard, so I didn't know about this side. And now it's still frightening to me to know about this other side of Dallas that everybody wants to keep covering up. It is Lead Poisoning in West Dallas. People are dying in West Dallas every day. People go to funerals. Preachers go to funerals 4-5 times a week. And we have a priority of young black men peeing shagging. We have blood in rivers. We have no housing for poor people. We have stained Thomas stolen from the black community after they were freed from slavery in 1865. They came over there and they bought that property and they built up that community, and the white folks who owned the land over there let it go down to nothing and then sold it to each other for a dollar when they wanted to come back. And then you use community development money to redevelop that community and redevelop me out of it. It's my history. 147 years ago, I was freed in the state of Texas. Well, one side of my family, because the other side was already free. And y'all sitting down here pretending that everything is okay. It's not. And they playing the same game in South Dallas that they played in North Dallas. They want that community back. And going down Hatchet, going down Grand, they gonna get it back because it's vacant. And they're not gonna build anything over there for poor people. And next election, the person representing that community will probably be white. Because there's not very much housing out there right now. And it's time for black people to represent black folks in this city. Because I ain't never heard y'all vote no on nothing. And I ain't come down here to get on television. I come down here to tell the truth. And it will set you free.
Thank you, Ms. Lundano.
Your next speaker, Lakoya London.
Hello, I'm Lakoya London from 1716 Chattanooga Place. I was trying to speak before Dwayne got out of here. Wow. Okay, my point is, okay, we need a school in Arlington Park. I mean, is there any way we can get somebody to just adopt Arlington Park? Because we don't have anything. We don't have elementary school, high school, junior high. We don't have anything. Now, I talked to you about the situation, Ms. Madrano, but we don't have a school, so... That's what we come down here for. We come down here to get a school back in the neighborhood. That's all we want. And I heard them talking about small sizes classes. I mean, those TEA recognized schools that we had, they were all small. And why are we going on the population of the school? The Reformation Education Act, it wasn't designed to close down TEA recognized schools. It was designed to close down low performing schools. It was to educate kids that wasn't performing high. Not those that was performing high. I'm sorry to tell you that. The reason why I thought y'all should be involved with Arlington Park, because it was a Supreme Court decision that opened the school. Now, I know it was concerning desegregation, but the point was the Supreme Court was involved. So, is that the most high court in the world? I thought it was. That's my point. I come down here for that. Okay. Most of the people in Arlington Park, they're older. They don't even have no kids in the school. But they're still fighting. They're fighting. Their kids is graduated. You know, they grown. Mine's not. I moved out of Dwayne Carraway's, you know, area. You know, my daughter went to T.L. Marsalis. Remember? You know, she had this ADHD. Like that baby, she said she had ADHD. Okay, my daughter supposedly had ADHD. She was diagnosed hearing impaired. At the same time, they was trying to say that she had this ADHD. So my point is, they gave her medicine that made her sick. I moved over here by the hospital, so in case she have sicknesses where I have to get an ambulance, I don't even have to get an ambulance. I can drive straight to the hospital. If I have to go to Southwestern, hey, I'm gonna go there. Children is right up the street. I moved by the hospital really because of that school and because of the hospital right there. I have never heard a gunshot in Arlington Park yet. Since I've been there, I haven't heard anything. In Oak Cliff, I did. I mean, I even heard people trying to break in my back gate, you know, stole one of my kids' bike and all that. I haven't seen none of that in Arlington Park. Everybody watching over everybody in Arlington Park. It might be small, but the people are watching over everybody, you know. And the little meetings they have, it shows that the crime rate is not big because everybody watching. From people 100 years old to people, you know, 30, 40, you know, we watching over each other. So our point is, we need a school. We don't want our little bitty kids getting bussed a mile away from school, or a mile and a half away. You know, when you got Maple Lawn and Hernandez right next door to each other, you have two schools right by each other. So why you taking the kids out of Arlington Park, where we got to be staying away, Jim Crow? That's just really what it is. We don't come down here to be on TV either. I hope that ain't it.
Thank you very much.
Your last speaker is Lakeisha Johnson.
How y'all doing? I'm saying I ain't come down here to be on TV. I can tell you this about being on TV. I come down for the safety of my child. And I have a disability. We have a public school in our neighborhood. Well, nothing wrong with this school. And they want to stand to the away from us. Okay, I have a question. You know, my son is 9 years old. She's been in Arlington for since she was in kindergarten. I never had no problems in Arlington for area. I didn't have to worry about nobody breaking my hair. I ain't had to worry about nobody walking out the door getting shot like I used to. See, I moved from a bad neighborhood to Arlington Park. Because now I put a stop at Arlington Park. Now I'm debating if I want to move or not. But I am going to move because I can't walk to the school they want to send the kid to. I refuse to try to get on a bus to try to walk. I don't ride the bus on myself. I refuse to, and I won't do it because of my condition. Okay, so everybody wants to say, why we can't get no help with Arlington Park? Why we can't get no help? It was a really nice school. Why not run with Arlington Park? Arlington Park was poor, and now y'all and took it to us. Yeah, what's the paper for? I hear on the news, they're trying to call you 9 more schools. I refuse to keep moving because every year they don't go back and go to school every year. Now, I watch the news and I listen to the news. They should be looking at 9 more schools. Okay, how I know the school that I went to my child to, they won't call their school. I refuse to keep going through this. I'm asking somebody to step up and help us. Be honest, I'm not worried about no other school. I'm worried about Arlington Park. That's all the school I'm worried about. The safety of my child. If we ain't about the school, it's about the safety of my child. I know y'all think that because I have a disability, I don't know what I'm talking about, or I'm turning up my head right now. I'm being for real. I've been looking around. When I say you'll get run into Arlington Park one day because a man tried to grab her, she ran to Arlington Park inside the school. Okay, somebody tried to grab one of the kids. What do y'all want to do? I mean, I think it's my own 2 eyes. And y'all can tell me anything y'all can do. I mean, but I don't think there's anything y'all can do. You know, I'm asking somebody to step up and help us keep the one school open. I can't sleep for the other schools, but I can't sleep for all of them for. You know, I'm not, this is my disability, and this is because I don't do that, and I don't know why I do it. My point is, we need a school in our neighborhood. Thank you.
Very much.
That concludes your speakers, Madam Mayor.
Ah, do I hear a motion?
Move motion.
Ms. Davis, you have an outfit?
No, I just want to move to adjourn. I just want to make sure for the record that we did not close any schools here at the City of Dallas.
Yes. Thank you very much. It is 3:31 and our meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much for your patience, and thank you everybody for staying.